Blog Talk Radio.
We've had the best football picks for a decade, and we ain't stopping now. Live from the IMLB home studios, in its 10th season, this is, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Dre. We fooled all of you. You thought we were going to have our football party on Friday night, and instead it's back to our normal Saturday night, at least for this week, because life happens, circumstances beyond our control. Not able to get on last night, but we're here for you now. The football party is live and in effect. And it's during the Buffalo-Miami game, which I believe is at halftime because I'm following using the computer and the ESPN app and whatnot, following it because I don't have a TV where I am at the moment. So I'm not able to keep up with all the action looking. I haven't seen a stitch of football day, not a single minute. It's been a historic day, though, so we'll get to talk about all of that. Recap last week, get your picks ready for tomorrow as well. Welcome in to, finally, after a day of delay, in much less detail, the podcast here with you live on a Saturday night, December the 17th, 2022. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody next weekend. We will be on the air before Christmas, at least we plan to, but just in case life happens, I'm doing it early. And actually, now that I think about it, Jay, you were talking about the conditions you guys are having up there where you are in Wisconsin. Down here in Memphis, next weekend is supposed to get really treacherous. So there's a chance I might not be able to do the show just because I might not have any power. We're supposed to get like temperatures in the single digits, snow, yep, ice, the whole nine yards, the stuff that you guys are used to up there, but down here we're not exactly prepared for it.
Yeah, that's all supposed to hit here too. It's gonna just, you know, not gonna give you the weather forecast a week out because that's hard to do. That's like picking your lock 3 weeks ahead of time.
Hey, wait a minute.
What? Oh, what?
Some of us like to do that.
So yeah, well, especially when you've got the locks all sewn up and you can afford that. So. 21-13 Bills right now at halftime.
Yep.
So
looking on the edge for my lock of the week. It's
looking on the edge for your first win of the week.
Those first two games, we're not going to talk about that. That's week 15 recap. We're not getting into that. So this week,
we've got Thursday night too.
Yeah, you
don't want to start the week 0-4.
I didn't want to start the week 0-3, but again, circumstances beyond my control. I had nothing to do with it.
I actually did get to watch quite a bit of football today, and I was at work, so that tells you how busy my job was today. But yeah, we're not here to talk about week 16. We're here to talk about week 15 or 14.
Talking about week 14. We're recapping 14. Week 14.
This is week 15.
You will hear all of Jay's wonderful recap about the historic day today that started off week 15, or at least started this weekend. You'll hear all about that next week. We're not going to recap that today.
I have a very strange feeling there might be some awards for some of the things that have happened today. And
Can't wait to get back home and watch the DVR of that game and see exactly, because I'm sure the words on the screen recapping the game are not going to tell the story at all.
I'm texting you throughout the game, giving you kind of the updates. It was a clown show. Both sides. Nobody should feel good about this. First of all, comebacks aren't even cool anymore because everybody is blowing leads with reckless abandon every week. So it's not even like it's a big deal anymore, right?
33-point leads?
The size of the blown leads is clearly becoming an issue here. But
all time.
All time. I tell you what, even at 33-0, as I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the situation and you look
You're
at
not
the
about
actual,
to tell me you felt like it was about to turn.
No, but I didn't feel like it was over at that point.
Really?
Because if you looked at the actual outcome of the way that the Colts had played in the Colts weren't doing anything. The Vikings were just immolating themselves for the whole first half.
Well, it sounded like I was able to catch some of it on the radio cast. I was again not television was not something that was available to me today, so that's why I'm going completely blind off of what happened this afternoon. But I was able to listen online, and it did sound like the Vikings were setting themselves on fire. That's
bad coaching, you know, just questionable decision making, going for it when you just. Stupidity, and this is the Vikings. I believe they at least with this 3-point win, they get back into plus territory for the season now.
I don't think so. I think they got their ass beat so bad last week that even this win doesn't do it. I don't believe so.
Let's take a look here. By virtue of winning today, they're plus two now for the season.
Oh,
the 11-3 Vikings.
Yeah.
Are plus two.
They're trying to be minus for the whole season. They're trying to finish like 500 and be minus points for the whole season.
Yeah. So, hey, congratulations. The Vikings won the division. We'll have all sorts of thoughts about this game, I'm sure, on the next show, especially as you get to absorb some of it as well. You know, it's so fresh. I'm so indifferent to it. I'm just glad I got the cover. I had it in the bag the whole time.
Right. No doubt. Never a doubt.
No doubter.
Yeah, I was about to stop you and say, we're getting into the recap as I figured we would or feared we would. Stop. Let's go back. Let's recap week 14. Get on to making our picks for week 15 because that's what the people came to listen to, all three of you. Shout out to your mother who probably is listening.
So
week
14. Asking what time's the show on? What time's the show on? So if we're not on, you always get a text like, "Where are you guys?" things happen.
We got one fan. Look, it doesn't matter who it is, what relation it is. It always feels good to be wanted and missed. So that's a good thing.
I'm trying to even tell my own mother, who our loyal listener,
our one listener.
I keep telling her though, just listen to the podcast version because then you get the after show and. You know, sometimes
she wants to listen live. She
sometimes
wants
the after show is better than the main show.
She wants the feeling of the live broadcast. She wants to feel like she's
got
her transistor radio under her blankie and like she's back in the 1960s or whatever. So I appreciate that.
That's right. Well, we're on right before Little Orphan Annie.
Your mother actually sent a message on Facebook just this second and said, "Yep, I'm here." We are truly directly talking,
to
your phone.
Lou from Jersey called in last week, too.
That's a Friday thing. Lou's busy doing his show on Saturday night,
right.
So he's not going to show up tonight. But, yeah,
I forgot the name of his show, but it's something. It's Extreme Something.
He hyped it up for 5 minutes on our show last week. So go listen to our podcast from last week if you want to know the name of Lou's show. And shout out to your mother, who we love very much. Okay. Week 14, we both managed to get over 500 by a game, thanks to the Monday Nighter, Patriots over Cardinals, which put me over. If I didn't have that, I would be under. But we both went 7-6. Actually, the Thursday Nighter with that crazy Baker Mayfield comeback, that put me over along with the Vikings game. If I didn't have both of those, it would have been a really bad week for me. So we're both 7-6. We both stay within four games of each other for the season. I'm at 103-98. You're at 99-102. As I said, the locks is a wrap. I am up by five with 3 weeks to go, 4 weeks to go. So I cannot be caught there. So that's the week 14 recap by the numbers. Since we tied, I will once again have the honors of giving out the awards for week 14, what we thought was the best and the worst and the dumbest and the smartest and all of that good stuff for week 14. Best thing about week 14 in the NFL to me, there are a lot of these afterthought teams that showed some fight. I was That's sort of the thing about the last part of the season, because there's so many of these teams that are mathematically eliminated, psychologically eliminated, even if they're not mathematically eliminated yet, you can tell that they don't have any fight left. They don't have any intention of fighting back. Some of these teams, right off the bat, Thursday night with the Rams and Baker and that whole thing, they could have laid down. They could have said, we don't give a damn. We are not trying to be out here. Our quarterback is dead. Our best defensive player, Hall of Famer, is not playing. Why are we out here? Why do we care? They fought. They kept fighting. They found a way to get over the hump and get those. They pulled the Tom Brady, get the two touchdowns in the last 3 minutes to win that game. The 5-7 favorite Lions are not out of anything. But by that record, you would kind of think they were. But they're feisty. They knock off those Vikings. They were everyone was talking about them being favored and kind of ridiculing them. And they said, oh, no, wait a minute. We're going to show you why we're favored. And then the Vikings come back today and show you why they should have been underdogs. The 4-8 Jags, take out the Titans in Tennessee. And whew, those Titans, I don't know what's going on there. But the Jags were very feisty. And Trevor Lawrence, once again, having one of those outings that makes you go, okay, got something there. Number one overall pick, starting to show some flashes, starting to look like it at times. 4-8 Panthers go up to Seattle, take care of business up there. You had that one. Panthers very feisty ever since the organization quit on the Panthers. The players didn't quit on the Panthers. The organization obviously quit on them, but the players are still putting up some fight down there. Chargers at 6-6. Right there on the borderline, fight back over 500, knocking off the Miami Dolphins. And even though in losing efforts, the Texans and the Broncos, man, they showed a lot more fight than I would have thought. Despite me not knowing which team still has something left, I love this. I still love, you know, just sitting there and trying to figure out who's going to fight, who's still got, you know, we got the mail-it-in teams, and even the mail-it-in team, you know, showing some fight. That's the end of football to me is watching what teams are going to find some fight, what teams are going to rise up and find enough fight to get into the playoffs, even though they're out of it right now, and what teams are going to slink back and find some weakness and fall by the wayside. That's the fun part of December football to me. So that was the best thing to me was watching these teams that had no business of being in these games, actually being in these games.
Oh, all right. You know, and you just kind of sprayed to all fields there. You talked about so many different outcomes. So I'll be hitting on some of these games individually as we go through or certain aspects of these games as we go through.
I'll be revisiting some of them, too.
Yeah, okay. I think you talked about half the games on the schedule. So that's all right. That's your best of the week. You know, people, especially the teams that you kind of count out, you know, showing up and doing well. But no, I'm going to give it to my best of the week to Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they really bullied Tennessee around. And that's another week of the bully getting bullied after Cincinnati did it to Tennessee. And then I don't know if you watched, I'm sure you watched that game. There was no fear. The Jags were pushing the Titans around. Trevor Lawrence, he was even quoted this week saying that something snapped in him, or it seemed like it clicked in him after that London loss, you know, that loss to Denver, the one I thought was going to get that idiot coach fired and didn't, which probably would have, but the Jags let him off the hook. And you know, they've been a little heckle and jide. We talk about the Giants and their up and down season. The Jags have been right there too, because every time we've kind of counted the Jags out, they just all of a sudden they show back up and they jump up and they punch somebody in the face. And this was the Trevor Lawrence and Evan Ingram show, man, against what looked like was a kind of resurgent Tennessee team. They're probably Tennessee still just on that glide path to the division crown. I mean, I guess Jacksonville two games back is in striking distance with what, five to go. That sense that, you know, four games to go. you get that sense that it might be a little bit too big of a mountain and the Jags are a little bit too inconsistent. But I keep talking about the Jags. Like, you see it. You know, it's like it's right there. Like, you can – they're clearly getting better each week, kind of learning from some mistakes. They've been able to put teams away. They've been able to blow teams out. And I was really impressed with the way that they just sort of handled and manhandled Tennessee.
It was impressive. The Titans, they got manhandled again. It is definitely something to wonder about with them. I'll definitely get back to them later. I watched some of that game. The fact that Derrick Henry waking up didn't solve the issue is worrisome because they still got ripped by Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. So, yeah, great on Trevor for whatever that was, you know, incredible Hulk, rising up and whatever it takes, however he decided to get motivated to rise up and see the light after the Denver game, that good on him. So, sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes getting sort of embarrassed like that to say, okay, I'm better than this, and let me do what I got to do to turn things around. So it's good to see. So that was,
what was your worst.
That was your best. My worst of the week, God, it's kind of sickening to see all those quarterback concussions last week. This has been the year of the quarterback concussion. It's unbelievable. You go double dumplings in Pittsburgh, both of them. Snoop Huntley and Kenny Smallhands got themselves knocked out of the game. So got to break out the double dumplings for both of those guys.
Dumplings.
That's just in the same game to see both the starting quarterbacks go down with bad headshots. And then, of course, the main event is – the sort of snuff film or Zapruder film of watching Russell Wilson's concussion in Denver, where the lens is focused in on him and you're seeing the concussion happen before your eyes. You're watching the neurons get destroyed in his brain as the lights get turned out in his head. You're seeing his eyes sort of rolling around and he's like that. And that I didn't ever need to see that. That wasn't really so. That kind of reminded me of watching the umpire turn around and have a heart attack at home plate and drop dead in front of our eyes. Not something anyone really needs to see, and watching Russ go down like that after getting his head dribbled, that was pretty sickening. So that was the worst of the week for me. That's not counting Mike White getting folded up like a Nokia flip phone. That was pretty sickening, but that wasn't a concussion. Kyler Murray blowing out his knee just running, that wasn't a concussion, but that was also – but it was a really terrible week for quarterbacks. I don't know what was going on, but the concussions seemed to be more plentiful this year for the quarterbacks. And Devontae Parker is plentiful for him as well, even if the team and the spotters and everybody doesn't see it happen.
Yeah, the injuries – there's always injuries, but I think that there's more of a – And for good reason, and rightfully so, more of an emphasis on the concussions, where in the past it would just be, he got his bell rung. He got his bell rung.
Absolutely
right. Guy'd be sitting over there just getting some smelling salts, and then send him right back out there. And I think it got even more highlighted this year after the mismanagement of the Tua situation. And I think that really put the spotlight on everything. So we're watching this like laser focus now. So that is bad though, but it's a violent sport. I mean, what can you do?
I haven't stopped watching. I love football. I will never stop watching. It's still sickening to see it. And it was the worst thing about seeing it to me about seeing football last week was watching all those quarterbacks getting their heads bounced around. But you're absolutely right. It is a violent sport. It will happen more often. There is definitely more of a lookout and more of a focus on it due to the Tua thing. And that's good. I don't need to see I don't need to go back to what it was. I don't need to go back to, Billy is over there on the bench. And, Billy, how you doing? I got his bell rung. He'll be fine. Give him a second.
No, we don't want these guys all – turned into, Muhammad Ali, 10 years after they retire, or, shooting themselves in the chest so that their brains can be studied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't need to see any of that. Yeah.
No, it's always ugly. You hate to see it happen. You know, that Kyler Murray, that non-contact one, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, just running in the open field.
Yeah, just running, bam. Just get sniper right there. You know, it's like, oh, okay. But you don't like to see that. That dilutes the quality of the play on the field. We definitely don't want to see, you know, those other players. Nobody's paying to see those guys.
No, nobody's paying to see Colt McCoy.
Well, speaking of my worst of the week, one of the guys who came in to one of those games was my worst of the week, and that's Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, Mitch.
Who comes into what is an extremely winnable game. Extremely winnable game against Baltimore. And proceeds to throw three interceptions.
He's
like he didn't miss a beat. And other than J.K. Dobbins coming back from injury and having a nice day, there was nothing going on with that Baltimore offense. Which crept into this week again. Tyler Huntley wasn't the answer in that game. Now the answer was just let Mitch cook.
To the other team, yeah.
And it's you see a team when the other team is clearly, can be had. Baltimore ends up winning that game by two.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a Ravens Steelers game, is it not?
It is. That's the old slobber knocker.
And both QBs, KTFO. That's a throwback game right there.
And Mitch Trubisky does get the sort of like garbage time touchdown late, which just kind of pads the stats to make that thing close. But man, you come into a winnable game like that, you just gag it up, and that reminds everybody why you are not the starter.
Right, the battle of the backups.
Yeah, so we're going to get another one of those this week for the Jets. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
these quarterbacks who get benched and then they have to come back, sometimes come back and remind you why they got benched in the first place.
I see dead people.
We'll certainly see how that turns out for him. And Trubisky playing so terrible, it was a mystery for a while if he was going to come back and play this week for the Steelers, because they can't go back to Kenny Smallhands because he's still dumplings.
Yeah.
But Mike Tomlin did not want to name Mitch Trubisky the starter. He was seriously contemplating Mason Rudolph before he finally figured out today that Trubisky is his best option. As bad as Trubisky is, he's not Mason Rudolph, so he couldn't do that. But he wanted to. He was tempted all week.
That's how bad he was. That's the same thing with Robert Saleh, how long he waited to name the starter.
They
took Mike White to the witch doctor. I'm sure they did everything they could. They were doing probably voodoo and acupuncture. And, the spirit healer, they had Mike White doing holistic medicine routine. They were doing everything they could so that Robert Saleh did not have to announce that Zach Wilson was going to be the starter.
She stopped, not go. Look, I go to you. Stick up for you. You know, help me now. Fuck you, Jobu. I do it myself.
Hey, Jobu don't come through sometimes, man.
Yeah.
You just got to do it yourself, It's that's how it goes sometimes. Good luck to you, Zach.
Oh, man. Yeah, against probably the hottest team in the league right now.
Yeah, go get them, kid. Well, maybe they'd rent them out, two or three older escorts tonight and made them feel comfortable in this hotel room or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So let's see. The smartest of week 14 for me, for the second week in a row, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Shanahan, my guy.
Man.
And I don't want to take it away from Brock Purdy. I don't know how good he really is. I don't know how much of this is him and the system. I was impressed with Brock. I give him credit. I wasn't impressed enough to pick him Thursday night, and that was a really dumbass move by me. I give him credit for executing what was out there, what he was asked to do. He did it. No shade on him. But come on. This is all a Kyle Shanahan production. We got to know that. We got to admit that. This whole thing, Sunday against the Buccaneers, smothering Tommy and not letting them do anything of import. Was it 35-0 or something like that at some point?
It was.
And
finishes
up 35-7.
And they weren't playing against Jeff Saturday and the Colts, so it held.
So they actually held on and held that lead. Come back on the shore week Thursday night and just do what they got to do and take care of business against Seattle. Don't miss a beat. I thought they would have some reason to trip up, and they just didn't. They just kept right on going. This is Kyle Shanahan is putting himself up there in the pantheon as far as I'm concerned. That offense, you could have ran it. You could go out there right now and quarterback that offense. That's how easy it is for quarterbacks to succeed in that offense. It's so simple to slide in and execute what Kyle Shanahan is laying out for you. He's got the blockers doing what they got to do. He's got the routes being ran in just the perfect way to free up this guy coming from behind. Everything is working, flowing according to plan. It looks so beautiful out there. It's crazy. First NFL W for Brock Purdy. Never heard of him before a couple weeks ago. Now he beats up Tom Brady. No contest. Comes right back three nights later, gets his second W. This is all with Debo being done for the regular season. Is it blasphemy to say they might not really miss him? Because they got so many other weapons, and they're putting them all in exactly the right place. George Kittle, out of nowhere, comes through with two touchdowns Thursday. Not trying to reek 15, but just pointing out as an example of, oh, we lose Debo? Damn, that's a big-time playmaker. What are we going to do? Oh, yeah, we got this Kittle guy. Let's just run him down the middle and nobody can possibly guard him. Tampa had no chance Sunday. Seattle lost by 8, but really didn't have a chance Thursday. That was more of a blowout than that score indicates. I'm not going to do it every single week, but for the second week in a row, Kyle Shanahan, smartest thing in the NFL, give him the coach of the year right now, as far as I'm concerned, because all these other guys that are going to be contenders for coach of the year, Sirianni and whatnot, they couldn't do this if they lost their first two starting quarterbacks. They could not do this. I'm telling you, they couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, how many coaches are going to be this successful with three different starting quarterbacks and all three of them, Trey Lance might have played the worst of the three.
This is true.
And they were still pretty good with Trey Lance. I mean, this is just it's you said the word as you were describing it. We said it last week. It's the system. That's why you're giving the coach the smartest. We're not saying that this is Brock Purdy. This is nothing but plug and play, mix and match. Although I've seen some breakdowns this week. I've seen some people breaking down Brock Purdy that he's not just a participant. He's actually going out there. And he's breaking plays down, and he's making reads. He's throwing some dimes. He's standing in the pocket, taking hits, delivering strong throws.
If you ran out there and ran the offense, they would be breaking you down on NFL Network and saying, this Jay guy with no college experience, he's not just a guy. Watch this. He's got –
I get it.
It's the system.
You still
got to
make the plays, though. And that's where I will still give the quarterback a little credit. He's still got to make the plays. You still got
to. I'm trying to.
There's plenty of guys. There's plenty of guys that just go out there and not make the plays. We can probably name like 30 of those guys right now that would not be making the plays. Okay. He's not Peterman or Trubisky or any of these Jets quarterbacks. So except maybe Mike White might. Mike White might be all right.
Yeah. He loves that system too.
Yeah. So
he go balls out. So smartest thing to you about week 14.
You know what? We weren't too keen on it when it happened. We said sit the guy instead of letting him play through it. But you started to see the benefits of it, and the results you could not argue with these results. 39 of 51 for 367. Let Justin Cook, Justin Herbert, he's back.
I guess so.
You know, they played him through that injury, and you could start to see with each game, right? We kept talking about when he first got hurt and that depth of target, how awful it was. And then within the last couple of weeks, you started to see, like, there's zip on the throws, the ball's going downfield more, and he just opened up the can on Miami.
And yeah, he did.
Lit up that secondary. So, I mean, I can't say that letting him play through it was smart, but he's clearly their best option, even hurt. So
yeah, that's the whole point. That's why they did it, because they knew if they put him down, just shut the whole thing down.
You know, when Dr. Dre and Dr. J here were... We're
not doctors, but we play one
right.
on podcast.
We're just like with Josh Allen, and we're talking about like the throwing motions and baseball, football, Tommy John, all that stuff. You could see Justin Herbert, even in that first game when he got hurt, there was nothing there. He couldn't get anything on the throws, but then you point out that he just goes God mode on that one throw.
Yep.
Just to screw us.
Just to fuck up the point spread, yep.
Just to screw us. He had it in him, and whatever he had in him then, he's got it all back now. And if the Chargers are going to make a run, that they're going to have to. It's all going to be on the arm of Justin Herbert, and they're right there. I mean, they are right on the outside looking in right now for a playoff spot. And everybody keeps waiting for this team to make that run and get in. And there's some weakness in front of them. So it could be there, especially if, say, Miami loses tonight. The Chargers can get a win. They've got that tie. So New England's vulnerable. So it's right there for the Chargers, but let Justin Cook.
Yeah, can't argue it right now. He cooked up the Dolphins Sunday night. You know, he's got the coach behind him. Staley's going to Staley going forward. That always that helps things when you got a coach that you know is going to trust you when the chips are down. Although I'm not sure how much of that is trusting Herbert and how much of it is knowing that you can't trust the run game, because there's nothing happening if you try to run the ball with the Chargers right now. Austin Eckler is just not getting it done. But Herbert is absolutely getting it done. So Staley had that 16-play drive that got stopped at the 2, and of course he goes for it. And DeAndre Carter can't stumble in before Miami shuts that thing down. I don't have a problem going for it there on the Clippers' first drive. They did it again before the half. They went for it again, and Austin Eckler did get in that time on a second effort. So you're going to have that coach that goes for it all the time. You got to have the quarterback that you trust. He did finally trust the run game, and Eckler did come through. But in general this year, it's been Justin Herbert or bust, which is why they kind of had to keep playing him, because they know if they put him down, forget it. They don't have a chance.
Yeah, if that's was that Chase Daniel or whoever the hell's behind him, yeah, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, they know that.
So you'll take a 70% Justin Herbert and roll the dice, and he looks to be he's got to be in the 90s now if he's not 100%. But I wouldn't be shocked if as soon as their season's over, you find out he's having something cleaned out.
The Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Accordion ribs and everything.
No. Drew Brees was the Blues Brothers car, because he had like 14 different ailments. I mean, he had scurvy and all kinds of stuff that we didn't even know about.
He had SARS. He had
yeah.
and we found out about... And we found out about none of it until after he was done playing.
No, which just goes to tell you what a joke that the NFL's injury reporting is. We found out Aaron Rodgers had a broken thumb 5 games after it happened.
Didn't show up on the injury report once.
No. So.
Yeah, we've always kind of known that's a joke. As usual, a game that you're talking about, who won award, earned an award from me for something else. This time it's the rare occasion where it's able to flow right into the next award, because my dumbest of the week came in this game in which your smartest of the week came, and that would be the Sunday Sunday night game between the Dolphins and the Chargers. It just seems so simple for the Chargers to take away the deep middle. And the Dolphins never found an adjustment. Like, how do you not figure out that the Chargers are just putting every DB they have on the seams and daring you to do something else? And Tua never was able to do anything else. I do not understand. It's been so everyone is talking about it on the broadcast now. Everyone is talking about it in the post game, that take away the deep middle with Miami, take away the hashes and make Tua do something else. And so far he hasn't figured it out and he hasn't done anything else. He didn't do any adjustments after the Chargers spent the first half basically knocking down every pass. What did he start, 3 for 17, I think, which is something you just don't see in football today. You do not see people have that many incompletions, because eventually even the worst quarterbacks figure it out and adjust and start checking down to the running back or something just to get some kind of completions on the board. He did not do it. He refused to do anything but keep throwing deep middle for Waddle and Tyreek Hill. It's not there. It's not there, kid. They're gumming it up. They're knocking it down. Do something else. The only thing different he did in the second half was start getting scared of letting it go and just taking the ball and turtling like he's Matt Ryan or something. That's the only adjustment he did.
It's not a good adjustment to make. You don't want Matt Ryan to be your inspiration.
No, you don't. Am I missing something? Is that not just not very bright, not very smart? Do something else. Throw somewhere else, because clearly – down the middle, down the hashes, is getting taken away from you. If he doesn't make that adjustment, he's not going to have any success going forward at all, because everyone knows how to defend him.
Yeah, and the Chargers are not exactly a world-beater defense, but I'd be playing that. If I'm playing the Dolphins, I'm watching that tape, and I'm taking notes.
The Steelers did it to him earlier in the year. I don't know why every team hasn't done it to him at this point, but I would think every team going forward would. I don't know what the Bills are doing tonight. I see the Dolphins have some points, so something different is happening.
20,
I would think.
Yeah, 20. Well, it was a deep left shot, so it says it was a pass to the deep left. So they went outside the hashes, apparently.
That's different. There you go. That's something. So.
You know, they went to a deep bomb. No, but you're right. That all of it is deep crossers and slants and posts with Miami. All the highlights that you're seeing, Tua is clearly comfortable throwing in, you know, that deep middle. It's old Mike Martz throws, right?
Yeah, the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, those deep crossers, those things that take forever to get set up. And, you know, you get a quarterback who can put it on there with accuracy in that deep middle. But you clog up the passing lanes. Tua's not the tallest guy. You get hands up in front of him, clog the gaps right in front of him. Don't necessarily rush him up the middle and just have guys jumping up there and being tall. That could make it a mess.
Yeah. It was really messy Sunday night. Just every time he let it go, there's four dudes standing there around Tyreek Hill going, what are you doing? Why are you throwing it over here? Come on. And he just he did not adjust.
Well,
3 of 17.
Yeah, he finished 10 of 28. Not a great day at the office for Tua last week. Against a defense that doesn't scare anybody.
But they figured that out. Just make an adjustment, kid.
I did. So I'll tell you my
stupid. The dumbest of the week for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to even be swayed at all by the greatest comeback of all time today. I'm still going to dump this one on Mike McDaniel and the Minnesota Vikings, because you talk about doing dumb things, especially dumb things early in games, and sometimes you can set that tone that says I'm an idiot. Nothing says I'm an idiot like going for it on fourth down at your own 45-yard line with 11 minutes to go in the first quarter. So
maybe the metrics told him to.
I guess they go for it on fourth down in their own end, first quarter, 4 minutes into the game, and they don't get it. And Jared Goff and the Vikings turn right around and go score a touchdown. And it was game on from that point. And yeah, the Vikings came back and they made it a game, but that just talk about setting the tone, right? You don't want to give the Lions, you know, this team that's been on a streak and their upstart, don't give them any momentum. Punt them back into their own end. Make them work for it. Don't give them don't give them the ball on their side of the field. I mean, first of all, the messages that you're sending, like, you already don't trust your defense 4 minutes into the game. Go make a play.
That defense, 33-0 today, that defense.
And I get what you're talking about with metrics and analytics. There's no metrics or analytics to tell you to go for it in your own end of the field 4 minutes into the game. I just think that sends the bad message. It sets the tone. The Vikings end up losing. Good on the Lions. But in that end game, and did not end up even being particularly close. Minnesota was just getting – their defense looked – like we've said, their defense is bad. There's a reason why you are – negative point differential at that point after that loss. Now they're plus two, so I know that changes everything.
Of course.
Because when they lose, it's not close. And when they win, it's really close. Something's got to give. So stupidest of the week 14, I'm giving it to Mike McDaniel and the Minnesota Vikings.
You know, in that one, I've got this written down for that game note. And so ironic, considering what happened today. About that Lions game, I wrote about the Vikings. Hey, Minnesota, they don't quit. Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson gave the Lions all they could handle. They tried to come back in that one.
No, they didn't.
They didn't have any
help. They come back all season. They get down. They fight back. They did it against the Bills, in that stunning fashion. They did it today in record-breaking fashion.
I guess they really don't quit. That's the thing. You can't quit when you have a defense that awful. You have to keep trying. There's no lead. The Vikings are a good candidate to be the first team to get in the playoffs and have a 33-0 lead and then lose the game because their defense is that bad.
And their offense is really good, as they showed in the second half of the game today when they actually finally – I got texting you. I'm like, well, once they finally got their heads out of their asses, it looked like it should.
From the numbers, it looked like they got some help. It looks like they had some guys actually do something to help them out. KJ Osborne was a monster from what I'm seeing on the stat line.
They also got some help from the 12th man.
The fans?
No, the refs.
Oh.
Yeah, there was some ref ball going on in this one. It was affecting the Vikings early because they had a defensive touchdown wiped off the board on a really bad call. But when the game started getting close late, those flags started flying. That keep scores close option, when that thing started getting closer, it really, you could see it because there were a couple where they were calling rough. The roughing was all right. There was a roughing call where they hit Cousins on the front of his face mask, and they're like, all right, they're going to call that
game
at the head. Stephon Gilmore had a couple against Justin Jefferson where they called, unnecessary roughness hits.
Yeah.
And both hits were pretty much legal hits, but they looked violent.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that anyway. If it looks anything like it would have been on an 80s highlight film, that's too rough.
Yeah.
They don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
They're going to call that.
But neither hit was helmet to helmet. Both hits were shoulder in first, but they were, they were hard hits.
That game is so legendary. We're not supposed to be recapping that game. We keep going back to it, even though we're not supposed to be talking about it. So again, we'll get back off that and go back to what happened on this past Sunday, which for the second time is going to seamlessly lead into my next award, because my surprise of the game came from that Vikings-Lions game.
Ah.
Because I did not have 330-pound offensive lineman Penei Sewell going out on a pass pattern on my bingo card. That's Dan Campbell for you. Big ones. Big stones by Dan Campbell, although he tried to sort of walk it back and I guess say that he was kind of distracted by the fans doing the wave, which that's why he approved Ben Johnson, the OC, making that play call, which makes perfect. That coach, for that excuse, that works. That's perfect. Dan Campbell being distracted by the fans doing the wave, so he approved the play call on third down of a crucial game of having your 330-pound lineman go out in a pass pattern and go in motion. That makes perfect sense for him. So I believe that 100%. Any other coach say something like that, I would think they were trying to pull a rib or trying to be funny or something like that. Dan Campbell doing that? Yeah, I buy that. But I did not have that at all. I heard about that on the on a recap podcast, but I hadn't seen that highlight. And then I saw the highlight. I'm like, seeing it doesn't do justice hearing about it. You have to see this big motherfucker get up out of his stance and go in motion, and then break out to the right on an actual pass. And nobody covered him because no one could believe he was actually going to catch a pass. It was a perfect call because nobody bought it. Nobody believed it. And there he is flopping and diving and making the catch and rolling and getting the first down. So that was extremely surprising. That was a wow. And I'm going to mention Ben Johnson's name again, because that's the OC that made that play call. And when you make that call and it works, you should get all the praise and all the flowers and get your name recognized for that. Cause that was, it's big ones for Dan Campbell to allow it to happen, but it's bigger ones to the OC to even bring that up. Cause who's bringing that to, can you imagine someone bringing that to Bill Belichick and saying, "Hey coach, I got a great idea. How about we take our left tackle and make him stand up, go in motion, and run him on a pass play?" Yep. Belichick will look at him and go, "Are you high? What are you talking
about?"
Well, they had to have
clearly practiced that, and they were saving that. I mean, they were saving that, and they brought that out at a time when they really needed it, because they needed to put the Vikings down.
They tried something surprising earlier to put them down. They had a fake punt. So they were pulling out all the stops in that game. So the Lions are surging, and they're surging with some unusual plays and surging with some good play. And they're one of them feisty teams to keep an eye on. But
we talked about how trappish that game felt. The line was just begging you to take the Vikings, and you know, clearly Vegas does not think the Vikings are very good.
No. I said it wasn't going to go up to a 3-point line because that was truly ridiculous. 2.5 was bad enough, but hey, it worked. So what can I say about it?
They beat them by 11.
Clearly, it wasn't enough.
So the surprise
of Week 14.
Well, you talked about this game already, but I still wanted to save it because it was just the overall, you know, the domination, or as I wrote here, the obliteration of Tampa Bay. By the Niners. I mean, that surprised me. I mean, I picked the Niners, but I didn't see it going like that. I did not expect to see Tommy. I did not expect to see Tommy and the Bucks go out in quite that fashion. We haven't seen Tommy on the wrong side of too many beatdowns like that. And that was something special that San Francisco had for them. And it was, they weren't really doing anything. They weren't being really just exotic. There wasn't any of the craziness going on in that game. They were just better, you know. and sometimes that's just what you have to be. You just have to go out there, be the better team, and put your foot on the throat of the other guy and never take it off. And I was very impressed with San Francisco and that effort. And they are probably, I would say, right now, the best or second best team in the NFC. I know you think that the Eagles are semi-fraudulent. So, and I know what a believer you are in the Shanahanigans, but they're right up there. San Francisco's, don't be shocked if the Niners are deep into January here.
With Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback, that's going to be the thing. It'd be incredible to have all these stories rehashed, his family crying in the stands, daddy's blubbering and whatnot.
Yep.
I'm telling you, you could be out there. Your mom could be blubbering about the way you play quarterback. You could run that offense. It's so simple to step in. And just execute. Just do what you're told and run the plays and do your job. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It is a surprise to see Tommy get beat down like that, because if there's nothing else that Tommy can do, if he's just completely watched, at least he can make late comebacks. He's always in a game, because whatever the game plan is or was, in the fourth quarter, he's basically going to throw it out and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm throwing the ball every time. It's not going more than 5 yards in the air, and we're going to matriculate down the field slow as molasses. And we're going to sort of lull the defense to sleep, and then we're going to get in the end zone and do it again. The next possession, we're just going to do it all over again.
We're gonna do that to midfield. Then I'm going to get pass interference on the other team.
If we really need a big play, I'm going to throw a ball 30 yards in the air on a 40-yard route and have the receiver come back and draw PI. He didn't have that. He didn't even have that option, because the Niners just beat him so thoroughly. So, that was surprising. So I agree with that assessment, absolutely. Bringing me to my letdown of Week 14. So I had the Texans-Cowboys game on down here at my wife's uncle's house last weekend. And, it started out decent, and he's sort of recognizing the Cowboys. He's not one of those complete cowboy lover guys that just everything about the Dallas Cowboys is the greatest, but he can recognize the star. He can, it's the Cowboys. It's America's team. He's like, them Cowboys, they're looking pretty good. And this game went sideways so fast that even my wife's uncle at some point later on had to speak up and go, them guys, the Cowboys are playing. I don't know who that is. They look pretty good, too.
Oh, no.
When you're playing against the Cowboys in their house and some observer has to take a look at the team that you're playing against and acknowledge how good they're looking, and that other team is the Houston Texans, something's gone horribly wrong. Something in the atmosphere has turned sour. That was a terrible effort all around by the Dallas Cowboys. That was extremely a letdown for, obviously, for someone who picked them as the lock of the week. You know, I'm trying not to make my lock of the week be the letdown every week when they don't come through. But this particular one, it was the definition of Christmas gift giving. It was the punt returner, Kayvon Turpin, muffs a punt. Houston scores a touchdown. Off of that, Dak gets a pass picked on a tip drill. Houston scores a touchdown off of that. Dallas can't block for Zeke on fourth from the 1 yard line, and he gets knocked back. They were down three at that point. The Houston D gets to Zach and makes huge plays. It was, Dallas was lucky Houston didn't win the game, because they pretty much out-hustled and outplayed the Cowboys.
There was that late turnover. There was a late turnover. It was a pick or something. Really, and Houston ended up having the chance to go up, I believe, 10.
Mm.
And they couldn't quite do it, but they should have. Houston, but the bad teams lose these games, right?
Right. They clearly outplay the other team, and they just find a way to lose it anyway.
So,
the Texans couldn't take full advantage and win the game, but they still – of course, cover that humongous spread. Good on Houston for taking it to Dallas. They weren't scared of the Cowboys. They had nothing to lose. I guess it was their Super Bowl, and they went to Big D and took it right to them. But, man, that was a massive letdown as far as I'm concerned. That's just a terrible effort by the Cowboys. And, usually they save a terrible effort like that for the playoffs, but I guess they did it a little early this year.
And honestly, we both had the same letdown of the week. Because I wrote it down here. This was the fuck around and find out game, right?
They almost found out. They almost.
I wrote it exactly here. Cowboy. I wrote here. Cowboys fuck around and almost find out.
Yeah.
They tried. They got that early touchdown, and it looked like, wow, this is easy. And
they look pretty good.
They forgot that they were also playing against still paid professionals.
Yeah.
And Houston, give them credit, had pride. They fought them hard the whole game. That's the other Texas team. That's the little kid Texas team going in there with a chance to go into Jerry World. And it's like they're probably their Super Bowl at that point. and they played like it. And you know, for a team that was 17 and a half point underdogs to almost come back and win that thing too, which would have been another massive upset in a year where we've had all these teams that can't cover big numbers, and here's the Cowboys just throwing another one on the pile.
Yeah, biggest of the year, and could not cover it. Texans brought
all the
tricks.
And almost lost. The Texans were game. But that's great for them. But, yeah, that's got to be a letdown more than anything for the Cowboys, because they just kind of lollygagged their way through that game. And then even when they were in comeback mode, they were still making mistakes.
Right.
Houston's just so bad. And the Cowboys' talent level is so much higher than theirs that they were just able to, you know, overcome. And it took them right up until just basically the very last play of the game to do it.
Yeah, Houston ran their little two-quarterback game out there where they get General Mills, and then they yank him back and send Jeff Driscoll out there
to do
his project impersonation where he's trying to run and do a Taysom Tebow and keep the ball and do some there's no reason not to try that, because you're the Houston Texans and you're completely terrible and you're the worst team in the league. So why not try something goofy like that? Most of these weeks going forward, it's not going to work. They're going to try it again, I'm sure, this week, and they're going to get destroyed by the Chiefs. But they tried it last week, and the Cowboys apparently weren't ready or didn't care or just completely didn't take them seriously, and I'm sure that's what that really was. Yep, you're absolutely right. They almost fucked around and found out.
Yeah, this is what happens when you – this is what I told you right away at the beginning of the greatest comeback of all time today. This is what happens when you show up and you just expect to win.
Find yourself down 33-0.
Yeah, or you almost lose to the Houston Texans.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that could have been my struggling, because the Cowboys are definitely struggling. But I will not use them. I will go for the second week in a row. Come on, Titans. What the hell is going on with you guys? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about the game against Jacksonville. Tennessee now, they're not even struggling. They're floundering. That's worse than struggling, because they're just kind of flopping around and they don't know what they're – you get a great game from Derrick Henry. You get him waking up, and that still doesn't stop you from getting destroyed by the Jacksonville Jaguars in your house. Like, how do you do that? They're not taking care of the ball. They're not protecting the quarterback. They have no pass threats downfield. Other than that, they're great. The Titans are absolutely wonderful, other than all of that stuff. They're all good. No, it was and it was a fluky win, too. I don't want to make it seem like the Titans got destroyed totally by the Jaguars. There were some deals in there. Henry got licked, and a ball popped straight up in the air into Josh Allen's hands, not the quarterback, the other Josh Allen. So that was kind of fluky. Trevor Lawrence had one of those touchdown passes to Zay Jones before the half. It went through a DB's hands, right into Zay Jones' hands for a toe-tapping touchdown. So there's some flukiness involved. But the general purpose or the general premise is you're the Tennessee Titans. You go around and you bully people. You bust them in the fucking mouth. And you don't get beat by the Jaguars on fluky shit like that because you're too busy pummeling them into the ground. The Titans can't pummel right now. There's too many injuries on their defense. Their O-line is absolutely struggling. It's painful watching Ryan Tannehill behind that line, because he has no time to do anything. He's, you know, Tanny's going to Tanny, but it's even worse right now because he's getting no protection at all. Henry had to try to win that game basically by himself. He almost did it, but in the end, the Jaguars get too many breaks. But, man, those Titans, they're definitely struggling. Second week in a row for them, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who's struggling. Hit me.
Struggling.
I'm giving this one to the refs. They're still struggling. I called this one the ref trifecta. They were missing some shit last week. There was a clear unnecessary roughness late hit out of bounds on Garrett Wilson, not flagged. that he got up and he complained about and had some comments after the game that basically the ref told him, like, you know, this ain't your alma mater anymore, pretty much, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get those calls. And, well, okay. I mean, if that really got said, but pulled the tape, he got hit late. And especially after some of the stuff I saw today, that, you know, this is why there's so much problem with the inconsistency. The refs blatantly blow a toe tap and touchdown up the sideline by Justin Jefferson. Did not end up costing the Vikings. They still ended up scoring on the drive, but he had a sideline dance and they called him out of bounds. And there was still green between his foot and the boundary as he's running up the sideline, toe tapping, kind of almost doing that like 1 foot Kadarius Toney thing, trying to get up the sideline. That would have been a long touchdown. And then finally, just the cherry on top of the ref shit Sunday was that roughing the passer call on Justin Herbert in that Miami game. But I don't know what these guys are supposed to do. You know, we came up again with that Nick Bosa one on Thursday night, but that's week 15. But still, the refs are struggling. And they've been struggling all season long. We don't know what roughing the passer is anymore. We don't know what unnecessary roughness is anymore. And now they clearly can't even call guys inbounds or out of bounds. The problems are piling up for these guys. The game is so fast, and these guys are just so bad at what they do. I don't tune in to watch ref ball.
Right. It's always a shame when it gets to that point of the season where the referees are in the news, because it's never a good thing.
Yeah.
All their mistakes. It seems to happen sometime every season where the refs' mistakes get so bad that it becomes a story. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's in the middle, sometimes it's later, like it is right now. It's always a shame because I always feel like the refereeing is a very difficult job and they get so many things right. They probably don't get enough credit for all the stuff they get right. But when they get it wrong, it's egregious, and it's out there for everybody to see, everybody to break down on film, and it sucks. It's things that sometimes they get some things wrong badly. We wouldn't have instant replay if they didn't get some things wrong very badly. So it's understandable why we have replay. It's understandable why we try to fix so many of these issues and make them reviewable, so that we can make it right going forward instead of just, well, nothing we can do. It's not reviewable. So that falls under that category. That's the only thing I can contribute and say and put a bow on that is it's in the news that they're considering putting that as reviewable, the roughing the passer, because sometimes you can go back and look at the video and see the guy fall down somewhere near the quarterback's lower body and the defender's arms are out trying to brace his fall, make it as he's trying to fall as soft as possible on
right.
these quarterbacks, trying to avoid a penalty. They still get thrown a flag for a penalty for roughing. It's like, what? I can't levitate my body and avoid falling on top. Gravity takes over at some point. It's not egregious or roughing or unnecessary roughness. If I land on a quarterback after hitting him, you have to demonstrate that I'm trying to drive him into the ground, or I'm trying to land with all of my weight on the guy. When I hit him and we both fall, that's gravity. That's not roughing. That's gravity. And we have
right.
to
that's physics.
Do something to fix that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kinetics. That's physics. That's, you know, you're moving a direction and you hit somebody. Yeah, because what happens the second somebody tries to let up right when he goes to hit the guy gets away and throws a touchdown pass.
Right, then we get an Eli Manning where he's tearing away from a guy who clearly could have put him under the ground but chose not to because he didn't want to get a penalty. And
right.
then Eli tears away and gets the helmet catch. So yeah.
But on the same day, they announced that they're making this reviewable possibly. They also announced they're possibly also looking at an ejection system for this too.
But to make it even more punishable?
For roughing the passer, yeah. Like they're looking into throwing people out for roughing the passer now.
Are you going to eject gravity from the game? Because that's what you're going to tell gravity that you can no longer be involved in this game because you've roughed the passer too hard. I don't understand.
So I mean, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah.
On one side, they're saying, "Well, we admit there's a problem and that these aren't really bad calls, but we're still going to kick you out."
On the other hand, we think they're not being punished enough. What?
Right.
Okay.
We need to get these guys out of the game.
These dirty, dirty players falling on quarterbacks lightly.
Yeah. Playing the game of football.
That in itself could be a what the fuck.
What the game 72-71.
But instead, mine will be to the New York Giants punter for his shenanigans. Did you see this play? It was pretty funny.
I don't believe I did.
So the Eagles still haven't come down to earth. They destroyed it. I'm still waiting for Philadelphia
just
to show.
An absolute annihilation
shellacking
of the frauds.
Of the Giants. the Eagles can't show themselves as frauds when they're playing the ultimate frauds, the New York Giants, I guess. Although maybe the Vikings have a right to say that they're the ultimate frauds. Anyway, Jamie Gilliam.
The Eagles whooped the shit out of them, too.
Yeah, they did. The Giants punter is named Jamie Gillen. They call him the Scottish Hammer because he's from Scotland and he punts, and therefore he's the Scottish Hammer. It's not the most egregious WTF of the year, but it's kind of funny, almost on a Benny Hill level. He might be the Scottish Hammer. He's not up on American rules. He was so scared of the punt rush coming at him at one point that he simply dropped the football before he could punt it. And he kicked it anyway. He tried to punt it on the bounce. That's not legal, kid. Can't do
that. Wow.
And it's, you know, it sounds like nothing for me describing it, but it's funnier if you go find the film and watch, because it's like, what the fuck was that? What did you just try to do? So, yeah, maybe not as much of a Danielle, as more of a Yakety Sax situation, but. The Scottish Hammer, Jamie Gillen. What the fuck? You can't punt the ball after you dropped it on the ground, kid.
You can't?
No. That's illegal.
Dang it.
So you're Danielle.
Yeah, hit me. I'm going all the way back to Thursday night. Baker Mayfield, man. What the fuck was that? Seriously, I mean...
It's Tom Brady impression.
Nobody wants him. He gets cut. The Rams pick him up. He's been in town for, 72 hours, maybe?
Trying to learn the
playbook into the weirdest... joked about the Wolford getting benched without even throwing a pass. Comes out and does a couple of handoffs like he's the Craig Council opener. And,
all right, you're done. Sit down.
And then they just bring in Baker, and you know, Baker plays like complete ass for 56 minutes and then just decides to he just does the Dan Fielding at the end of that game. He goes, wait a minute. I feel better. And throws two touchdowns, including the game winner, with 15 seconds left to go to beat the Raiders to cap off yet another, talk about a season of blown leads, their fourth double-digit blown lead of the season, the Raiders, who had completely just dominated that game from start to finish, even though there was stupidity in that game, and they got the Rams defense, yes, they stood tall a few times, And Derek Carr made some wild, throws, and he had that one that was picked in the end zone. But still, you're up 16-3, under 4 minutes to go, and you can't hang on to that thing. And you let Baker Mayfield, that guy, you let him come in basically what amounts to off the street. You know, from being like the third stringer for the Panthers saying, you know what, guys, just cut me. You know, I don't even want to be here. And the Rams pick him up and he goes out there and leads them on a comeback victory. Man, what the fuck was that?
I mean, Al and Kirk Herbstreit kind of was saying it as it was happening. this is probably just the best for Baker. Just don't think about anything. Just
don't
get
think,
off the
right?
Plane
just play. Yeah.
And just play and just ball out and do what you got to do at the end of the game. Because how many of those two-minute drill plays could he have learned or could he have known? It's probably the same four plays, just keep flipping in formation and just run the same play because he couldn't have known much. You know,
He was playing street football.
Yeah, and it worked because he's playing the Raiders.
Correct.
Yeah, the Rams D tried to have some pride in that game. Devontae Adams kept spoiling it. He was completely blowing up their spot. And, yeah, the Rams are so undermanned and so outplayed and outgunned, and there's no reason the Raiders should have lost that game. But Baker and the Raider penalties played a big part in that as well. Don't let the Raiders off the hook for pulling the stunts that they usually pull. They're always contenders for stupidest team, along with the Lions and Cowboys. Most penalized teams, certainly, always a contender for that. So that played a big part as well. Some really dumb interference penalties that kept those drives alive for Baker. But yeah, that was funny. That was I wish I had money on it. That's all I can say. Something happened where I did make some money. Actually, I haven't lost everything I own. I actually went back to doing a little light betting. Oh, it was Arizona. Again, with these terrible quarterback injuries, I hated winning money this way, but that's the way it goes sometimes. I had the Patriots, and in the same game parlay, just because the Cardinals always seem underprepared, Kyler Murray always seems underprepared, I had a Kyler Murray under yardage, under like 250 yards throwing.
He was way under.
He was a little under. He kind of didn't do anything throwing because he just blew his knee out the very first time he tried to take off.
Hey, win the bet.
I did. I wasn't very happy about it. I wasn't celebrating or anything like that. But a win's a win. It is what it is. Some weird stuff happening in the league, every year. This year, no exception. As weird as ever this year. The Baker Mayfield thing is certainly at the top of weird stuff, at least until today.
Yeah. So I think we talked about most of the games. We did not talk about my lock last week, which was the Bengals, who just keep looking impressive. You talk about teams with that arrow pointing up, and they seem to be in that form that they were in late last season, and they laid it to Cleveland.
Yeah, Trent Taylor came up with a huge catch. Trenton Irwin with the flea flicker touchdown. No reason to trust Deshaun Watson, his second game from his layoff or suspension. And good reason, good pick by you, good lock, starting your run of locks, because as we also discussed, and now that you can't come back and win the locks title, you're going to go on a run and win every lock the rest of the year.
You're going to end up beating me by one lock. You're going to beat me by one lock on the season, and then I'll be cursing Matt Amendola's name till the end of time.
My lock tonight is looking very bad, as the Dolphins are now leading the Bills in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
So just shoot me in the head for that one. See, what else did we not cover? Another grinding hard scrabble Bills win before tonight. As they pummeled the Jets and Mike White with that game where they folded Mike White up like an accordion. But still don't cover. And as we had, as we figured the Jets would play them tough enough to not cover that big spread. So they did. They did indeed do that. Tremaine Edmonds and Mike Milano were the guys that tried to turn White into a human flip phone.
Ugh.
That was hard to watch, man.
Yeah.
Just kept getting folded up.
Don't want to pat myself on the back too hard for that Denver cover, but hey, they did it.
Again, another team that should have stepped on a team that they're clearly much better than, they couldn't do it. Chiefs could not. Pat Mahomes kept getting picked off. He's looking like he's going to be a superstar and break out the running Kareem Skyhook touchdown, and look like it's going to be one of those games where he can't be stopped, and then all you see just starts throwing interceptions all of a sudden. It's crazy. And Jerry Jeudy steps up and decides to play and has three
touchdowns. And ironically, Russ plays basically his best game of the season.
Right.
And before then getting gets dumplings. Yeah.
Yeah. Just bad luck on this part, I suppose. You had Seattle going down to Carolina, and that occurred. They trailed 17-0.
And
they rallied back to actually make that closer, but the Panthers were actually too tough.
And I'm fading the Seahawks. That informed my pick for Thursday night too. I feel like we've seen the peak of the Seahawks, and it was several weeks ago. And I'm strongly fading the Seahawks probably the rest of the way here.
I can't argue with that at all. On Monday night when
on that game, if you saw the highlights or if you watched any of that game, the Panthers running game was just wearing the Seahawks out right up the gut over and over and over. It was almost painful to watch Chuba Hubbard, Hubba Bubba, and Deontay Foreman just ramming straight into that Seattle line, but they were getting 8 and 9 yards every time they did it. You shouldn't get that often, and they're just carrying piles down the field with them. Seattle's middle looked so soft against a really bad team. And Sam Darnold played okay.
I did have something written down that had quietly all these terrible run defenses we talk about. Quietly, Seahawks run D might be the worst of all of them.
They got abused by Carolina.
Oh, well, there you go. And on Monday, I was talking about Mac Jones when he wasn't cussing out asshat again because he was angry again at some of those play calls. He did at least try a few deep balls, and Nelson Aguilar showing his impressive ability to catch hard balls and drop the easy ones. We were very familiar with that act, and he pulled it once again. But war of attrition, because everybody was getting beat up in that game, not just Kyler Murray. But it was a war of attrition, but just careless fumble by Nuke to give New England a touchdown, and that was the difference. They never looked back after that. Cardinals never could recover from that, despite Colt McCoy. He had some decent play as well in his backup role. A lot of penalties on the Cardinals for that offensive genius. Yeah, we're going to talk about that coming up, picking these games. But you got a coach that you think needs to be fired and needed to be fired 2 months ago. And this coach in Arizona, they're going to play against each other. And I don't have any use for either one of them, quite frankly.
We've had a lot of battle of the worst coach in the league games this year, haven't we?
Seems like we have every week. So we'll get to all of that. Do you have anything else that we're going to move on?
No. Fortunately, we have a condensed slate because this ran a little long today.
Right. But we knocked three games off that we don't have to talk about because they are being played or in the middle of being played today. So we will move on and get you set for week 15 in the NFL after I tell you where you can listen to our show. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at @IMLDDre. When I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason's on Twitter too. His feed is @IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you can get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and go through our archives or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. All right, we have had a full slate, but we got three games that have already been played this week, and one is in progress. I guess the Bills are trying to come back on the Dolphins, but had a long ways to go there, 9 minutes in the fourth quarter, but it's going to be a tight finish. But as far as the spread and Bills minus seven, it's not looking too good for me and my lock. If you were following me on Twitter, you know that I made Buffalo my lock of the week this morning, and again, not looking too good right now. Jay still got his lock to come with these remaining 12 games on the schedule, Sunday and Sunday night and Monday night, that we're going to get to right now. Starting in New Orleans, Falcons and Saints do battle in the NFC South rivalry. Are they all still like in shouting range of the division title? Is it really that bad in the NFC South that all of them can still win the title?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, they're only all one game apart in the win column.
Yeah, well, we have
so,
we got
and,
a lot of weeks
actually
left.
Two games so. Apart if you count the whole division. So you got Tampa at six, Carolina and Atlanta are at five, and the Saints are at four.
Yeah. So there you go. This terrible, terrible division. Technically, every team is still in line for a possible division title.
Yeah, honestly, with four games left to go and only a two-game spread, yes, anybody could win that division.
It could go anyway.
It's awful.
The very, very awful. The 5-8 Falcons and the 4-9 Saints. The rare opportunity where both teams are coming off a bye to play each other, which is very fair. If I were running the schedule, I would try to do that every week where all the bye teams play each other. So we know that the Falcons are going to give Desmond Ridder a look at quarterback in this one. As far as the Saints go, they should get their touchdown machine, the tight end Juwan Johnson, back from his ankle injury. In this one, the Falcons are the underdogs to Red Rifle and the Saints. Atlanta is plus four at New Orleans.
Yeah, normally, if this is both teams and everything is normal, right, it's just business as usual for both of these teams, and I see a four-point spread, I'm always taking the underdog because, as we always say, these teams are almost predestined to always play a field goal game. At least one of them, somewhere during the season, we already had a really close game between these two, which I believe was a one-point game in that big blown, you know, back when blowing leads was, you know, like, wow, look at these blowing, you know, the Falcons blow leads, like, Falcons are off the hook now. I think it's Matt Ryan who's going to be more on the hook now for blown leads than just the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, poor Matt Ryan. But Desmond Ridder, first start, I don't like this spot. He's going into a hostile environment. I know Arthur Smith is doing this to try to give the offense a spark. Honestly, I think he should have done it three or four games ago, and then maybe Ridder would be a little bit more prepared for a situation like this. I think Dennis Allen and that Saints defense is going to – he's going to see stuff he's never seen before. I mean, this isn't Bill Belichick bad, you know, as far as rookie quarterback goes against a defensive team. But I still think it's going to be a little overwhelming for him going up against a fairly competent Saints defense. I know he's going to give them an added element – you know, maybe a little bit more explosiveness. Maybe he's going to get the ball out to those wideouts and actually use those players and not look afraid to throw the ball. But I still think it's going to be – there's going to be some rookie moments in this game. And so even though I think he'll have good moments, I think he'll have just as many bad. I'll take the Saints, give the four.
Yeah, first game of the season, New Orleans won by one. They were up – they were down 16, the Saints were, to the Falcons in Atlanta. But again, going back to, it felt so long ago feels like another season. Jameis Winston rallied the Saints back and was able to get that victory for them. Jameis sitting on the sideline still again as Red Rifle has taken over as the quarterback. And I don't blame Dennis Allen. It is more consistent play, even though it's obviously less explosive. It also means less volatility the other way. You're less likely to get a four-interception game out of Red Rifle unless it's Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Now, you said it. This is why Desmond Ridder is getting this look, because he's actually got a chance to look downfield every now and then, which Marcus Mariota absolutely refused to do. And you also said it, that these two teams seem to always play within a field goal of each other. So I'm going to use your logic and say that the Desmond Ridder era gets started with a field goal game, which means I'm taking Atlanta and the 4 points.
Sound logic.
It is a rough first assignment for a rookie, the Saints defense, but they're not quite as stout as they used to be. Here's the two feisty teams, the Lions and the Jets, going against each other. Detroit now 6-7, and the Jets 7-6. Mike White is still doubled over in pain, so Zach Wilson is back at quarterback, as we discussed a little bit earlier, which is not something Robert Saleh really wanted to do, but after consulting Joe, we finally decided that he had to make that move and go back to Zach. So Zach back for the Jets. Detroit in this one, the one-point underdog at the Jets.
The Jets win this game. It's going to be all on their defense. They are going to have to just smother and stifle this again, resurgent line. It's like a tale of two seasons for the Lions. They had that crazy beginning of the season where they were scoring a ton of points, but they weren't really winning. And then they had those two games on the road, the one that was the New England one, and then there was another one where they just, like the Cowboys one, where they didn't show up. They scored nothing.
Yeah.
And then they go back to their high-scoring ways, but now they're finding ways to score a lot of points and win games. And I'm taking the Lions. They seem to have captured some magic here. If this was Mike White, I hate to say this, but this is where we're at, 2022 NFL, catch the fever. If this was Mike White, I'd probably have the Jets, but no, it's Zach Wilson. I can't do it.
They can't survive the loss of the great Mike White.
Mike White. Oh,
the key to everything, the key to the Jets' success, the great Mike White. I concur. I think if Mike White was starting, I'd have the Jets in this one, too. I absolutely agree with that. It's two spicy teams with no recent championship pedigree, so this is kind of, the formative times, and they're, both those fan bases are probably very excited right now about both of their directions, and they should be. All those Lions wide receivers versus all those Jets DBs, that's going to be fierce. I think that's the sort of inside game to see how many of those guys can get open over, against Sauce Gardner and those guys. But, yeah, Mike White's ribs, they would be worrisome, would have been, if he could play. If the Lions could hit the quarterback with some consistency, they're still a little lacking in that, but getting ghost ball, you don't have to hit Zach Wilson. He's going to see you come in and pretend like he's going to get hit and overthrow the ball anyway. So they don't have to. So I agree, and I will take the Lions with you as well and take the 1 point. The Philadelphia Eagles go to Soldier Field to play the Chicago Bears in one of many games in just very frigid, miserable conditions. But, hey, that's December football. You're going to get that. Bears are coming off the bye. Eagles at 12-1 now. I'm still waiting for the come down because they're not that. I'm sorry, they're just not that. 12-1. That, come on, it's gonna happen. I'm telling you, eventually. And the Bears, of course, at 3-10. Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert was thought to be getting ready to come back from his shoulder injury, but it came out today he's not quite ready yet. And the Bears will not have their receiver Chase Claypool, who's got a knee injury. Eagles are, of course, the big favorite in this one. They're -8.5 at Chicago.
Well, yeah, and you are 100% right. The Eagles, I think the Eagles are due for their come down. It's not tomorrow.
Not here.
Not against this team. Not against Justin Fields and guys. It took that whole team effort in that loss that they had. I mean, you saw the blueprint you know, with the Washingtons and Heineke, and it was this grind them out up the middle, convert your third downs. It's not a style of play that I can see the Bears sustaining for 60 minutes. I'll take the Eagles squish.
I can't blame too many people for that. Eagles are red hot. Maybe I'm putting on my Bears glasses, but look, Bears are the ground maulers. They're number one run team in football. You know what they're doing when they come in. They're still number one running and last passing. You absolutely know what's going to happen. And the Eagles struggle with ground teams. The Bears can stay within 8.5 just running. I don't think the Eagles are going to stop Justin Fields too much. I don't see them having too much more success than other teams trying to chase him down. And maybe he'll have some extra juice coming off a bye as well. So, no, I'm not taking the Bears to win necessarily, but, yeah, I'll take the 8.5 points. Maybe they'll lose by 8. Kansas City and Houston, Texans for the second week in a row playing a team that they have no business being on the same field with. Let's see how it turns out in this one. They're actually the home team this time at 1-11-1. Kansas City, the road team at 10-3. Injuries in this one, Houston. Boy, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Again, the receivers, Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks out. And they took their cornerback, their rookie cornerback and running back, Derek Stingley and Damian Pierce today. They put them both on injured reserve. So not only are they out for this game, they're out for the rest of the year. So good luck, General Mills, with whoever's left out there for you. Chiefs are the biggest favorite of the week, to no surprise. They are -14 and a hook at the Houston Texans.
Well, Houston had their chance last week. I mean, clearly that's your Super Bowl. You give it everything you've got. You lay it all out on the field, and you still come up short. I'm not locking this up. I don't have the stones to do that, even though the locks are over. But I'm, you know, and I always worry about this because you never know what the Chiefs' mindset is going to be. Like, they like to toy around and fuck around and find out with teams, too. So, boy, this good luck picking this one. I don't know how much the velocity of money is going to be on this game because there's two crazy sides of this one, which is, you know, Houston's playing for nothing and the Chiefs act like they're playing for nothing half the time. And then they just show up and then, oh, wait, it's fourth quarter, and then they flip the switch and then they beat the team. So, I still think the Chiefs are a lot better than Houston. We know they are. They should cover this number, and it should be ugly. It should be ugly early. Chiefs, again, give big points against the Texans again and probably regret it again.
You sound very grudging when you say that. I concur for the same reasons. What scares me is KC is capable of not taking Houston seriously, just like Dallas didn't. KC is definitely more talented, obviously.
Look at what Miami did. I mean, Miami benched their starters in the middle of the third quarter and almost blew that cover.
Right, right. Well, 30-0, there's no reason to keep trying. And, yeah, they almost... until today.
Until today. Now all those teams that get down 30 points are going to have hope.
Hey, do you want to be Matty Ice and the Colts? Come on now, keep going. It's not over.
I mean, if anything, what happened today is just going to leave it, you know, teams are going to just pile on more now.
Right. They're going to be up 50-0 before they take people down now. And for good reason.
Yes. You play to win the game.
Hello. Yeah, I guess Houston doesn't have the quite the motivation to come out and spoil like this. This isn't the Cowboys. This isn't the in-state rivals. This is just the Chiefs, who are clearly much better. So I'll concur and take KC and give the 14 and a hook. God, if we get hooked on this one. Speaking of the Cowboys, they are playing a much tougher, well, definitely tougher than Houston opponent in the Jacksonville Jaguars. 10-3 Dallas, traveling to 5-8 Jacksonville. Good luck figuring out which Jaguars team you're going to get. Trevor Lawrence wasn't affected by this bad toe that he's supposed to have. He just sure the fuck didn't affect him last week too much, going to Nashville and trouncing Titans. So he was back on the injury report this week, but I don't expect to have any lasting effect again tomorrow, just like it did last week. Cowboys are the much lesser favorite this week than they were last week. They are only minus four at Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, I'm going to use your theory here that weird shit happens in Jacksonville. And I'm going to take the Jaguars. I don't know if they're necessarily to win, but I could see them hanging tough with Dallas. It's just such a weird spot going out there. Just seeing the Cowboys and Jags in Jacksonville is just even going to look weird. It's like whoever the Jags host, if it's not an AFC South team, it just doesn't look right. I don't know if the teams, as they get to that part of the country, and they just get discombobulated. But we've seen this happen too many times with teams where they go down there and a trap gets sprung for them. And I do like what the Jags have been doing offensively. So while, again, Dallas is the far superior team talent-wise and on paper, you can never, underestimate the ability of Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn to just royally fuck things up. That's always out there, too. So I'm going to take Jacksonville and the points.
This one, to me, will show if Trevor Lawrence really has arrived. He keeps showing these flashes. He keeps looking like the number one guy, and then the next week he falls back to earth. The Cowboys pass rush, if you're really the number one guy, you're going to look at Micah Parsons and those guys coming at you, and you're going to still perform and do what you're supposed to do. I think the Cowboys are going to feast on them. I think Houston almost embarrassed them last week. I'm sure they had to hear about that from everyone they know all week long.
Okay.
I feel like they're going to get on the plane and go to Jacksonville and send a message and absolutely destroy the Jaguars. You're absolutely right, though. Weird stuff happens in Jacksonville. You're absolutely right about that. So I'm not locking it. I already used my lock anyway. Dallas to destroy the Jaguars. But if they didn't, I wouldn't be so surprised. Pittsburgh will play the Carolina Panthers in the battle of backup quarterbacks. Kenny Smallhands is dumpling, so the QB was rumored all week to be either Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph. It seemed like Mike Tomlin gave real consideration to making Mason Rudolph the starter because that's how awful at times Trubisky has been. Apparently he's going to go with Trubisky after all, but he probably has an extremely short leash. I don't think you'll see three picks from Trubisky this week because if he gets the two, he's going to get the Sandman hook and be pulled off the stage. For the Panthers, DJ Moore has an ankle injury. Keep an eye on that. He is on the list as questionable for tomorrow's game. And this one, the cop-out line. Steelers are 5-8, and they're plus +3 at the 5-8 Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, oddly enough, the Panthers, hey, they're still playing for a division title.
Oh, God.
For a team
all
that, you know, has been... All of them. They're all left for dead, and they're all still in it. It is wild and wacky. That's all I will say. That division. But one through line for the Panthers, which sort of goes like – they're sort of like Denver, that their defense has been quietly playing respectable. I mean, now the Panthers' defense isn't on the same tier as the Broncos' defense, but for an NFC team, an NFC South team, they've been actually acquitting themselves quite well. I'm going to take the Panthers here. I think they just straight up win this game. I like what they're doing. I like that little two-headed running attack they've got going. Sam Darnold seems to have something going with the receivers. I like this, the backup quarterback dilemma here going on, because I don't think you really get much with either Trubisky or Rudolph. And, yeah, this feels like a really ugly game. Love the under on this one. Smells pushy as hell, but I'll still take Carolina and give the 3.
I also love the under. Steelers might get their quarterback folded and crushed again. The Panthers are strangely motivated and playing hard since quitting. I mean, it's one of the stranger things. In a strange season, it stands out as one of the stranger things. The Panthers organization clearly quit, gave away their best player, their star running back, cuts their starting quarterback, and now here they are, like we said, contending for a division title, which is just kind of disgusting in a way. But, hey, Panthers players didn't quit. The organization did. I will concur and take Carolina against whatever quarterback the Steelers are sending out there and give the 3 points. Late afternoon action, Arizona and Denver. Again, backup quarterback mania. Colt McCoy is the QB1 now in Arizona for the rest of the year. Russ is concussed, so Brett Rippon steps up to get the start for the Denver Broncos. He will do it without Cortland Sutton, wide receiver, who has a hamstring injury. The 4-9 Cardinals are the very slight underdog, plus 1.5 at the 3-10 Broncos.
Yeah, terrible game, by the way. I mean, we talk about the idiot coaches on this one,
yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that one through line for me for this season has been that Broncos defense. I know they gave up 34, but that was also to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and they probably could have given up a lot more, which was ironically the Broncos' best offensive production of the season. Both times the Broncos actually decided to score points this year, they lost, by the way. They got over 20 against the Raiders and lost, and then they got to almost 30 against the Chiefs and lost. I don't think they're going to have to get there to beat the Cardinals. I'm gonna just take this Broncos defense to kind of smother Colt McCoy and this don't know what to make of it Cardinals team. In a really ugly game, I will take the Broncos, and maybe Russ not being there helps them.
I've seen that in other places, and I don't have an argument against it. How can I possibly say that that's not the case? It just, every time Russ seemed like he was turning a corner, he made another bonehead play, and then, like you said, this game he was actually turning it around and doing all the things that he's supposed to have been doing this entire season, and then he gets dumplings. So it's like, God, just can't catch a break. But no, you're right. Brett Rippon might not do the stupid things that Russ was doing to ultimately lose those games. Just every time, it seemed like he figured out a way to lose those games. And Brett Rippon, whatever Brett Rippon does positive, might not be much, but he might not lose the game. That's all you want your quarterback at this point. Just don't lose it for us. So I will concur and take the Broncos and give the 1.5. But yeah, I'm definitely on record. I don't need Nathaniel Hackett or Cliff Kingsbury back next year. I don't have any use for either one of them. I think they're both should be fired at the end of the year.
I agree. I concur that both of these guys. I don't know which one's first. As soon as the season's over, on what is it, Black Monday or whatever it is, but it'll be both. I'm pretty sure.
Black Sun evening, if I had my way. One more last skinny line for this week: Patriots Raiders as the coach goes to visit his pupil out in the desert. For New England, Ramondre Stevenson has an ankle injury. He's questionable. We know he won't have Damian Harris. He's got a thigh injury. He has been ruled out. And twin concussion boys in the wide receiver core for the Patriots, Jacoby Myers, trying to work his way out of the protocol. He's still got a chance to play. Devontae Parker has already been ruled out. We know we won't be seeing him after he was staggering around out there. For the Raiders, Josh Jacobs listed as questionable again. Uh-oh. That's bad news for New England. It seems like lately when Josh Jacobs is listed as questionable,
I just got that.
That's when he goes off for 250 or something on the ground. And this one is 7-6 Patriots plus 1 point at the 5-8 Raiders.
Well, the worst thing the Raiders can do in this game would be to get up by more than 2 touchdowns. Because that seems to be like the death knell for them. They get the big leads and then they just blow them. Although this iteration of the Patriots seems like they're not going to be the team that's going to come back on you. Too many injuries for the Patriots for me. You know, injuries in the backfield, injuries in the receiver core. I believe that Bills just kicked the field goal and won the game. So 32-29, Bills are a winner. There you go. Just happened. But I'm going to go ahead.
No cover for me.
No cover for you. You are 0-4 to start the week. Eek.
Yuck.
Ow. Yowie. It'll get better. It's always tomorrow. I'm going to take the Raiders and give the point, I guess, is what we're looking at here on this one. But I'll take the Raiders. I just think that's too many injuries, the traveling, all that to overcome. You know, Carr's still going to be out there. Adams, Jacobs, yeah, it doesn't take much to, all you got to do is win this one, Raiders. Come on, don't blow another huge lead.
So Belichick against Boy Wonder, Josh McDaniels. You know, the New England defense is another one of those D's that's like holding that team up. Like they wouldn't, the Patriots at 7-6 is almost a miracle with the struggles that they've had on offense. They wouldn't be anywhere near that higher record if not for their defense. So this one feels like it's just a field pick. It feels like the defense gets after Boy Wonder's squad and holds up for their coach. They don't want their GOAT coach. They've already seen Brady leave and win a title and make their coach look like a fraud. I don't think they're going to let Belichick go in there and lose to Boy Wonder. So I just think the Patriots D will come through and get some big sacks and pull out this victory for the Patriots. On to the Cincinnati Bengals and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Speaking of Tommy, Bengals, much better team at 9-4, but Tampa 6-7, of course, division title still in their sights. And Tommy with his ability to dig around and find a victory late, even though he's playing like crap. It's just so weird the way they can pull games out of nowhere. Some injuries that might make a difference in this one. Bengals will not have their tight end Hayden Hurst with a calf injury. They won't have their edge rusher Trey Hendrickson with a wrist injury. Buccaneers got a defender at each level out for this game. The big man in the middle, Vita Vea, is out. The linebacker and edge rusher Carl Nassib is out. The safety Jamel Dean is out. So lots of pain on both sides of the ball for both of those teams. And, of course, there's always running back drama with Leonard Fournette. You never know which Fournette is going to show up there. Bengals are the favorite, -3.5 at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, with that many defensive injuries, though, for both sides, I think that actually hurts Tampa more than it hurts Cincinnati, because Cincinnati is clearly the more explosive team. They seem to be finding a groove, kind of feeling it a little bit right now. Tampa is reeling. So unless this is going to be one of those just, you know, Tommy puts the team on his back and slings it 65 times and just wills his team to victory, they're not good. And Cincinnati is. I mean, that's all it boils down to. I'm going with the team that's good. Give me Cincinnati and give the points.
If it was that simple, there would be no need for point spreads or anything.
I know.
Everyone would just make money all the time. I'm taking a better team.
I'm taking the team that's
always
good.
Pull it out. Yeah. Team A, good. Team B, not good. I'll take Team A. Of course Tommy's going to fling it around 65 times. Got Joe Burrow coming in, Joe Scheisty. Of course Tommy's going to take that personally and just do nothing but drop back and throw. He's doing that anyway, but he's definitely going to do it with a top-notch quarterback coming to town. So that's not even in question. There's no question the strategy of that game is going to be can Tommy outsling Joe Burrow and Tommy's going to throw it more than Burrow. He's going to have more pass attempts. I guarantee you that. Bengals on talent probably are killing Tampa Bay and winning this thing all day for the first 58 minutes. They better put up 30 or 33 or 34 before Tommy puts on the cape and becomes Superman, because he's just doing that thing. He's just flying back and I'm taking Tampa. I'm taking it, even if he doesn't come all the way back, it's 3 and a hook, so Tampa might lose by 3. But Tommy's going to put on the cape at some point and try to mount a huge comeback, because that's all he does. That's all Tampa does, is just wait for Tommy to start slinging it and get the PIs and get the short throws. And that's their big game plan. So I'm going to take Tampa to hang in there at least and stay within 3. The struggling, floundering Titans visit the not-so-struggling Clippers, Chargers, who – looked a lot better on Sunday night against Miami. So both these teams 7-6, but seem to be going in opposite directions. Treylon Burks is still dumplings. He's not going to play for the Titans. D'Amico Autry is still out with injuries. Several defensive backs still out with injuries for the beat-up Titans. The Clippers, their hard-hitting safety Derwin James is listed as doubtful with a quad injury. In this one, we got the cop-out line for this. Titans are +3 at the Chargers.
Yeah, and this is the call me crazy pick, but man, you know this more than I do because you live down there and you watch this team. But man, this feels like a Titans special. This is the type of spot they're reeling. Things haven't been going their way. They're getting pushed around, and now they're going out to the West Coast. They're playing. Justin Herbert just beat the Dolphins. He threw for 300. This just feels like the Derrick Henry show. He's going to run for like 210, put the team on his back, and they're going to just bully ball Justin Herbert up and down the field. Because again, this Clippers team can get pushed around. So this is the Titans special to me. Titans win this one going away.
But I still haven't heard that L word out of you. That
No, not yet.
We only got two spots to go. You cannot usher up two more victims better or easier for Derrick Henry than more feeble than the LA Clippers, who have not been able to stop the runner since I don't know when, and the Houston Texans, who the Titans play next week, and Derrick Henry is their daddy. You cannot get two better pieces of meat on the plate for the Titans. And I'm still picking the Chargers because
wow.
The Tennessee defense cannot be trusted. They are not getting at the passer. They are not stopping anybody through the air. They got too many injuries. And Justin Herbert, with all his weapons back, with Mike, that's a huge part of it too, is Mike Williams is back. He's balling again. Keenan Allen's back out there. You can take those other two guys, Palmer and I don't even remember the other kid's name, and put them back in their 3 and 4 spots where they're supposed to be, because neither one of them were any good as a number one receiver when Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were out. So that's as much as Herbert being healthy is part of the resurgence of the Chargers. I believe just as big a part is Mike Williams and Keenan Allen being out there. I think that makes all the difference. You can be as healthy as you want a quarterback, but if your receivers are a bunch of number threes running out there trying to be number ones, then it's still not going to look any good. So that's why I got the Chargers. They got all their weapons. Justin Herbert is doing what he's supposed to do, and the Titans can't stop a nosebleed.
That's true, but you did not crap on my logic there.
Your logic is absolutely correct. I think Derrick Henry should have another huge day, and I think ultimately it's not going to matter because they're not going to be able to stop Justin Herbert from doing anything.
Well, he had a day. He had a day against Jacksonville, and it didn't matter.
He sure did. On Sunday night, the Giants and the Potato Skins play their big rematch. Of course, the weird scheduling quirk of Washington playing the Giants a couple of weeks ago, then having a bye last week, and now coming back to play the Giants again. So you get the home
and away.
Very, very odd. These teams are as even as you can get. They have the same record, 7-5-1. That one is each other a couple of weeks ago. Washington had more yardage in that game, but the Giants were able to rally back and force overtime, where both teams in overtime punted the opponent's territory. Both teams had the ball across midfield and got stalled and chose to punt the ball. They wanted that fucking tie, and they deserved that fucking tie. Both those teams deserved to tie in that game because that's what they played for. That's what they wanted. How are you going to punt on the other side in overtime? How the hell do you do that? I don't understand. Chase Young at this point is the candy man. They keep saying that he's getting ready, going to be out there. He's still not going to be out there at this point. He's a rumor. They say Chase Young exists, but I'm not sure it's true. I think he died, and they're just playing with us. It's a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Are they going to have a wireframe statue of him in the stadium?
Oh, no, that's been done already. They're going to have to come up with something else.
Okay.
They're going to put a pile of dust in a dustpan for him or something. I don't know what
they're
going to do.
Wow.
It's Washington. They're capable of doing something like that. In this one, the Giants are the underdog plus 4.5 at the Commanders.
Honestly, I got to tell you, I hate the Giants. I think they're completely fraudulent, but that's too big of a number for me. As even as both of these teams are, as even as they're going to play each other, they're division rivals, they hate each other, I don't think either one of these teams is honestly capable of beating the other team by more than a field goal. So by that logic, I have to take the points.
Yeah, that's the logic. Winner of this one wins the series, the season series 1-0 because of the tie. So that's just odd. Giants run defense trending the wrong way versus a team that doesn't want to trust their quarterback at all. So that's why I'm taking Washington and giving the 4.5 because the Giants aren't going to be able to stop them. They're going to rely on Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson. They're just going to keep running down the Giants' throats, and the Giants aren't going to be able to stop it. And Washington is very happy to keep doing that because that means they don't have to use Beer Man at all. And I think that's Chico Rivera. I think that's how he's staying alive right now. He's a cancer survivor. He's barely holding on out there. We love Chico, former Chicago Bear. And I think he's doing that to just save his own skin so he doesn't have an aneurysm and collapse on the field. It's just use Beer Man as little as possible just to take care of his own health. So I will give the 4.5, take Washington. That moves us to Monday night. I know what your lock is now. The poor, woebegone Los Angeles Rams at 4-9 with Baker Mayfield, now the QB1, and the rested 5-8 Green Bay Packers with coming off their bye with Aaron Rodgers looking at least half decent recently. And they might get Romeo Doubs back from his ankle injury in this game as well at wide receiver. Baker opening and closing apparently this game. I don't think he's going to he can't give it up to John Wolford because Wolford's been deactivated, I believe. So we don't have to worry about that. So with that, the Rams touchdown underdog at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I want you to close your eyes and go on a journey with me.
Okay.
And we're gonna go back in time last season. And I want you to think about your lasting memory of Baker Mayfield playing the Packers in Lambeau Field when he was with the Cleveland Browns. And Nick Chubb running up and down. Oh, yeah, Baker threw 4 picks.
Ooh.
Probably one of the games that helped him out of Cleveland more than any other. A game that they should have just gone in there and won, and Nick Chubb was just decimating that Packers suspect run D that's been a problem for them for years. And for some reason, the Browns decided every once in a while, well, we got to let Baker try to throw, and it was a disaster every time. I'm taking the Packers. I'm locking it up. First of all, when he turns around, he's not going to have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt back there. He's going to have 2 yards per carry Cam Akers and the corpse of some other guy. Yeah, I mean, I understand that the Rams defense, they've been fighting, but the Packers have kind of been the Rams daddy the last few years. So I think muscle memory just takes over here and the Packers put them to sleep.
You mean it's not a good thing to look back in your backfield and see Cam Akers?
Cam Akers ain't the place to be.
Decent last game. He had a sort of coming out party. He got in the end zone, I think.
That is such a backhanded compliment.
He was decent.
He's aight.
He's aight. Hey, come on, let's go Baker again. Another crazy comeback win.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay, maybe not. You know what? I'm going to be fair. I still think the Rams defense has been trying to keep it together and trying to play for them and trying to hold up things.
Oh, sure.
They're not going to have Aaron Donald again. But, yeah, there's only so many miracles you can keep asking for. There's only so many times you can ask Baker Mayfield to do whatever the hell that was last Thursday night. I don't know if the Packers are on their way to any kind of great resurgence or any great finish to the season, but I tell you what, I did remember that I got to keep picking them. I got to get Green Bay to 9-8. They got to win out.
Oh, they got to win out.
Yeah.
You're going to will it.
That's right. That doesn't mean I have to take them to give the 7 because they can win by 5 and still be on their way to 9-8. But I'm going to give the 7 anyway. I think this is, you know, probably their best chance to have a great outing. It's Lambeau Field. It's cold as fuck. It's Monday Night Football. Crowd's going to be all drunk and sauced up and ready to go. Night football, bad elements, L.A. team coming in. It's all set up for Green Bay to have probably their best showing of the season. So. So, and also Aaron's getting it together a little bit, been playing better, getting on the same page with Christian Watson, got Dobbs coming back. Yeah, if Green Bay is going to do something big time, this would be the game to do it. So I will I'll concur with you and give the 7.
All right. You know, it's really funny that you're going to beat me for the season on locks here, and I don't think you've disagreed with one of my locks all year.
I don't. Yeah, maybe one or two. I'll go back and look in our after show. But yeah, it's been very rare. And same with you. You haven't disagreed with too many of my locks.
No, so. I mean we think these are good picks.
Yeah, crazy. More on our after show when we go back. Now into our VIP after show program. That's a great point you bring up. This is the year of the least amount of crapping on each other's locks, I think, since we started doing locks. We barely disagreed on any of them.
Right. We disagreed on a lot. I think you're feeling like you've got that 2 spot you got to pick up on me already. So,
yeah.
Been disagreeing with me.
As you know, we make our picks completely independently.
We do.
I have no idea what you were picking.
That felt like a lot. I'm going to say at least half of them. That's got to be at least 6 more. Maybe more.
6 looks to be the number, yeah.
Okay.
But
so
most
would
of
put
them
a,
were late.
That would be...
Early slate, we agreed on a lot of those.
Okay. But that's 8. For the week, then.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, counting the 2 that you got on me early today and Thursday night.
Wow. That is something already. But, yeah, no, we – yeah, I saw that Baker was getting that start against the Packers, and I was like, man, I'm locking that up.
You're not counting on that Baker magic again?
No. No, that felt like a one-off.
Yeah. Yeah, you can talk on that and then entertain the crowd while I go through. I'll just randomly call out any disagreements of locks through the entire season as I see them.
I know I crapped on one of your Jets ones earlier.
Oh, God.
There was one that
was
so brutally bad. I think that was early because you gave yourself, I think, an award for it.
Because it was so stupid, yeah.
For how
probably
bad
was
that
dumbest.
One was.
Yeah.
That's one of the only ones that really, like, stands out. You know,
you're gonna vomit for this one. Week 12, I locked the terrible, beat up, no good Rams going into Kansas City, and somehow,
that's the worst one. That's the worst one because that's when we had the line. That was the one with the line that.
Oh yeah.
Moved off of the, you know, when I picked it was 15.5, but. You had it at 16.5, and it ended up being a 16-point. Yeah, that was a messed up. That one got me. That was the one that did me in for the locks for the year.
That's what you get for doubting me, buddy. Me and Bryce. What's the kid's name? Perkins? Forgot his
Bryce
name
Perkins.
Already.
Oh, my God.
The great Bryce Perkins.
And that was the Chiefs just kept getting down to, like, the 4-yard line.
They got within the 10 and 4 times didn't score a touchdown either.
They knew
any of
they
times.
Weren't playing anybody, so they kicked field goals. We're all season long, everybody's going for it. Nobody's kicking field goals. But the Chiefs are like, oh, these guys aren't coming back to take the points.
Right, exactly. They knew. They knew better.
Yeah.
So that's about the – so I'm going back. I'm back to week 10, and I still don't see any other lock disagreements.
No, it's been very few. Where we have, we usually in a season will crap on each other's locks all the time. We'll have a lock off at some point.
Right.
We'll both have the same lock, which also has not happened this season.
Here we go. Week 9. Let's see, Indy. Oh, God. Well, it was +5 at the Patriots, and you locked up the Patriots because that's how terrible. Because I don't even know if this is Matty Ice or if he had been benched for the kid and
for
and you said New England
was that
gonna...
the Ellinger game?
Probably. And what,
my lock of the century?
And New England won by 23. So I guess you
that was the Sam Ellinger on that game. That was the that was Choco Hooters.
Okay.
That was
Ricky quarterback.
Bill Belichick. Goat coach. Choco Hooters. That was the Choco Hooters game.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, sure was. but the week before, Green Bay. Oh, geez, another one. Another hook. Packers Sunday night at Bills. Green Bay plus 10.5.
Oh,
and
my God. Yeah.
You just knew the Packers are going to get destroyed by the Bills.
Yeah. And they hooked them.
And they hooked them. I said, hey, Green Bay, I'll give them a fight. They'll hang in there. And
This is what I mean. I'm losing by a lot on the locks, but when you look at the locks I lost, they were.
Those two are gut punches right there.
Yeah.
The second one is going to wind up changing our rules for how we pick lines. That's how bad it was. That was a really gut punch right there. We're going to change everything because of that one.
That was the Nickel Roby Coleman play of lines right there.
It's going to change everything. We got to have winter meetings. We got to get together after
the season.
And get all
Miley
the owners involved.
We talked about that with Craig Council and Wade Miley. It was the Wade Miley game.
We ain't having this shit again. We're going to change the rules.
We're going to have a special tribunal about figuring this out.
I'm back to week 5, and those are the only two disagreements I see on locks so far.
That's wild.
That's crazy. We've definitely never had this few disagreements.
We've been doing the awards since week 4.
Week 3. Bengals minus 6 at the Jets. I locked up the Jets, and you laughed at me, and you were right. Because the Bengals beat that ass 27-12.
Okay.
I don't even remember who the Jets quarterback was at that point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so it's funny that I look back and week 5 was the first week that we did the awards. So that meant week 4 was the first hardware that we handed out. And you go back and we've been doing this for, 11 weeks. Yeah. And it feels like this is the way we should have been doing it forever.
Right, of course. Yeah,
and because I've got it in a spreadsheet, I've actually got all my awards still saved for the whole season.
Okay.
So I've just got it all in one spreadsheet, and I can just scroll through, and I can see every week what my awards were each week.
I've got all my awards saved, too, but I'm old, so they're all on scraps of paper that are all back at home, so I can't access them right now.
Right.
Maybe next year I'll get out.
Although
technologically sound.
No better award than when we did that week 5 recap, and we both had the how did Matt Amendola get another job award? And yeah.
Oh man, he's going to be so fitted.
There's going to be some hardware for that young man for probably for a season. Retrospective.
Absolutely.
That's
what I was getting to. He's going to be so talked about and feted and regaled for our season ending awards.
Yeah, and he'll have earned every bit of it.
Week 2 on Monday night, I was in favor of the Bills who are hosting the Titans as 10-point favorites, and you thought the Titans were going to give the Bills a fight because it's the Titans. They always they love being the underdogs, and they love taking it to the Bills specifically. But I had a feeling, and I locked up the Buffalo Bills, and they won 40-7. They beat the Titans' ass.
Wow.
Very few disagreements there. So there's that one in week 2, and that. Let's see week 1. That might be about it. I think that just covered all of our log disagreements for the year.
That's one hand. That's...
Oh, and week one was our co-lock because the Baltimore Ravens in week one, we keep telling you people this, are mortal locks. And they were 6.5-point favorites at the Jets, and they won 24-9. And we knew we want to take the Baltimore Ravens week one because that's what they do. They come out better prepared than every other team. They do it every year.
And that's funny because I don't know if we didn't have that like pre-planned, but we were telegraphing
it
all through the preseason.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like when we were doing our preview show and just completely telegraphing the Ravens do to start seasons. Like there is no better week one coach than John Harbaugh.
We knew it. And we both locked them up, and it worked out.
So even though the Bills didn't get that cover today, I do want to say I am glad they won. I really do, you know. I just have that – I don't have a rooting interest, but I like the Bills, and I do want them to get the number one seed.
You do have a rooting interest. Hipster Jabes loved the Bills before any of you posers.
It's on tape. It's on record. About, you know, my prediction here about the Bills being the dominant team in the AFC East predated them doing it by about 2 years.
He was talking about that before Tommy ever left.
I did. Yeah, before when Project was still Project.
Right. And I thought you were crazy.
You thought I was just talking out of my ass.
Come on, the Buffalo Bills? Come on, man.
Well, they moved to 11-3.
Yeah, I'm very glad they won too.
Still hold that tiebreaker over the Chiefs.
I'm mad that they couldn't cover, not just because of my lock, but because I had money on it tonight, so that didn't work out for me. But what are you gonna do? At least Josh Allen threw for more than Tua, and that made me some money because of this, you know, some of these sports books, it's almost unfair the way they throw things out there for you as sort of bonus bets or prop bets that they have sort of, it's like they're putting something on sale, like they're taking the odds of something and really knocking it down for you. They do that all the time in all the sports.
They're trying to entice you to bet.
Exactly. They're trying to take people like me who have a gambling problem and make us gamble more. That's shame on you.
Those dirty bastards.
DraftKings Sportsbook made it plus 100 tonight for either quarterback. If you wanted to take Josh over Tua or Tua over Josh in passing yards, instead of minus whatever it would normally be, they put it on sale and made it plus 100. So I put a little money on Josh to throw for more than Tua. I didn't think, first of all, I thought it was going to be snowing all night. The way they were talking about the weather.
It stopped.
It stopped. The way they were talking about it all week is that it was just going to be a driving snowstorm all through the game. And that was not the case at all from what I'm seeing on the papers. Looks like a completely clean green field to me, which was a complete shock. So I thought it was going to be, you know, passing yards. I thought everyone figuring out what Tua is doing. I thought the Bills were going to just gum up the middle and make Tua do something else, which maybe they did. So I thought it was going to be Josh Allen by a mile in passing yards. So I did put money on that. So if that did work out, I'm looking at the stats now. Josh threw for 304, Tua threw for 234. So I didn't know it was going to be that high. I thought it was going to be more like 204 to 134, but either way, a win's a win there. But I did have more money on a parlay for the Bills to cover the spread, which did not happen. So.
Oh no, my Saturday DFS lineup moneyed today, which was nice.
Oh good.
Yeah, it was actually my
Kirk Cousins or something.
I had Kirk Cousins.
There you go.
I had Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson.
Oh, well, can't argue with that.
That was 70 points between the two of them. J.K. Dobbins and James Cook were my running backs.
And they did something?
Dobbins, 17 points, found the end zone.
Okay.
He caught a touchdown from Josh Allen. And then I also had Michael Pittman, which was almost 20. And then the rest of my guys were all getting eights and nines. So that's usually enough to money. I mean, it wasn't big money, but... You know, Gabe Davis had almost 10 points. Hawkinson had 8. Amari Cooper had almost 10. That 10 in that game might have been the top scorer.
Yeah, I was listening to that in the car going I was going to dinner. So
man, yeah, Lamar, Lamar can't come back fast enough.
Well, he was steadily going down as the season was going on. It was getting worse and worse.
Maybe he just needed the break.
Maybe he needed a rest. You're right. That very well might be the case. All right, I'm logging into my DraftKings now so that I can. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
For Ravens fans, this was like your first actual straight up, like, you just lost.
Right, you didn't have a huge lead and find a way to blow it.
You didn't blow the game in the final 18 seconds. So, hey, good job. Just losing
progress.
Yeah. You lose like everybody else now.
Yeah. I guess that's that. I guess there's that. You can't lose a big lead if you can't
get the lead. It's like you can't cover 10 if you can't score 10.
Yeah, pretty much what the case is. All right, what in the world is your DraftKings handle? Because every time I get into a contest, it has something on there about look up your rival or something like that. But I don't know your handle.
Oh, so right. You can see.
It says find a rival right here next to standings. Yeah.
Well, it's really easy. It's IMLDJ.
Oh.
It's just IMLD, then JAY for J.
You know,
is that so that you can compare your lineups to mine, or?
Yes, or in the standings, yeah.
Got it.
Well, I typed it in and nothing happens. I don't. Well, maybe you weren't in this contest today. Were you in the holiday free contest, or were you in something
today?
Else?
Yeah, that one. The Saturday slate free one? Yeah, the NFL 50K.
Yeah. Yeah, that's free.
I was. I had 153. I had the same lineup. I missed the money on that one by a point.
Oh, wow.
So the one that I did money in was one that I paid for.
Okay.
Because I had 153.10 for my score.
Okay, this is weird. I was trying to type it in, but it's not. But you're not coming up when I type in find a rival.
Yeah, IMLDJAY.
I'm typing in because when I type in like I and M, it's bringing up other people who starts with I and M or even who have I and M in their handle. But then I go to IML and it goes blank because apparently you're not in that one.
Unless you
blocked me out and I can't find you.
Yeah, maybe I don't make my – maybe I have it in a setting or something. If I don't make it public or something, I'll have to look at it.
Okay. Well, how many points did you score again? Let me look at it through that.
153.10.
All right. Well, I'll go down all the standings and go down to the 150. What the hell? It won't even let me do that. It went from...
No, you can't see them all. So were you in that contest?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
I had 132.5 points.
Ah, okay.
Nah. I finished in 79,000. Yeah, I'm such a loser.
I finished in 28,374th place.
And despite only being like a point behind, I finished in 79,324th place.
You had how many points?
132.56.
Oh, okay. Well, you were 21 points behind me.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had 133. Okay.
No, 153.10.
Okay. I misheard you. But I can't get to 100. I'm going through on the – I'm looking at the whole standings, and it jumps from – from 49.45 to 26,249, and then to me.
Yeah, it does that. It's really strange.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It does that. Hang on, let me see.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Because do you see that find a rival box next to the standings?
No, I don't.
So,
Hang on. So if I go into the contest, this is fun. Everybody's listening to this live, so that's great.
Right.
Well, what's the after show?
No, we're not live. We're in the after show.
Okay.
This is the content you paid for, folks.
I'm on my phone, so I don't know if that makes a difference.
That probably makes a difference that you're not on the actual computer site.
Yeah, hang on here. I actually don't like their website. I like the app more than I like the website.
Huh.
I'm just about to go to DraftKings. Let's put in a few extra A's there.
Just a 1A.
Okay, so I will go to lineups, recent, live. Okay, live. NFL Classic. It's not showing. Oh, man, it's not showing my free one.
Hmm.
I was clearly in it. I was winning money until about the last minute. I had like a dollar. Oh, there it is. Holiday free contest. Let me click on that because it says it's live.
And then when you get to it, you see standings, and then next to standings, it has a box that says find a rival.
Oh, I see where it says entrance. What's your login?
My handle is DreDog, which I made like before IMLD even existed, but I forgot.
Oh, you are DreDog 555.
No, I don't have any fives. That's a different person.
Oh, it's
I'm just I'm DreDog and nothing else.
Okay. Oh, there you are, DreDog. So I found
how,
you. It just doesn't let me see anything.
Huh. That's how old my account is. I'm DreDog with no numbers. I'm the
there's
original
three
DreDog.
DreDogs, just so you know, there's three DreDogs.
Yeah. I'm the
one
with no numbers.
You're just straight DreDog with no numbers because you are OG DreDog.
Damn right. No others before me. But the account sat dormant for years. I forgot I had it. But I don't understand why they got the box for find a rival, but I can't find you. I type in your handle and nothing happens. I don't understand. But at least I know your handle for future contests, so I'll be checking in on
you.
Oh,
hang on. Oh, I have to put in my phone number.
What?
Yeah, hang on here. Oh my God, it's texting me a code. I'm about to get hacked. Oh, look, my bank account's empty.
Oh, no. They know not to empty my bank account. I'm going to give you all your money back anyway eventually. Don't worry.
I don't have that much money in DraftKings.
I didn't, but they kept giving me these crazy contests, and so I was able to build up a little something. One thing they gave me on the sportsbook side, you might want to join the sportsbook just for this. I don't know if they're going to do it for everybody, but maybe they did. They gave me – what did they do? Now I got to log into the sportsbook to figure out what the prop was that they gave me. It was something so easy and ridiculous that I couldn't help but cash in on it. They took like a – right after I signed up for the sportsbook a few weeks ago, they sent me a something for a Sunday night game, I think it was – where they gave me like 100-to-1 odds on anyone scoring a touchdown in the game. All I had to do was bet a dollar, and if anyone scored a touchdown, I got $100. So that's how I originally started out. And that's like, I hope nobody, signs up and bets a game where no one scores a touchdown thinking they're about to get an easy $100, because that would just be the worst. Like if you sign up one of these, Steeler games or Ravens games where they score nothing, they get three field goals or whatnot. But that's how they got me hooked. That's how they got me started. I signed up with a sports book, and they sent me this really easy bet for $100 if I bet $1, and all I had to do was have someone score a touchdown, anybody at all. So then from there, they've been sending me a bunch of thing. They send you free bets every now and then. They send you, if you bet like a same game parlay in a particular sport, they'll send you a free bet off of that. They just sent me for, the very first soccer bet I've ever made in my life.
What?
Because they sent a risk-free, a no sweat bet.
Sure.
Up to $35. It's a parlay. Like I had to pick I picked like Argentina and Messi to score a goal or something like that. But if it loses, I get my money back. So what the fuck? Of course, I'll go for that. And if it wins, I win like $200-something. So they know exactly what they're doing with these things. They get the hook in you, and they just keep reeling you in. Now, the way they get other people, I'm sure, is you run out of money, and then they go, oh God, I'm hooked. Now I got to deposit and send you. I'm not sending you fuckers anything. That's just not going to happen. I know that.
You're going to play that out, and then it's done.
Exactly. I'm playing this rollout as long as I can, and then it is all over. But it's still going so far. That was like 3 weeks ago, and I keep kind of yo-yoing back and forth, up and down. But I still got a little money left, so I'll be playing tomorrow too. So we'll see. But the Buffalo one, that was big. I was really trying to pop that one, but did not work out for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was your lock. Here's what happened. You put money on your lock.
Again. Oh, I got to stop doing that. I got to stop betting my locks.
Because you went into that rut when you started putting money on your locks, and then as soon as you stopped, you started winning locks again, and you're like, oh, I've got it back, and then you lose your lock.
And then I lose my lock again.
That is peak you.
It is. It really is. But here's the odds boost they gave me for the Josh Allen versus Tua passing yards money line. Normally would be Josh Allen minus 115, and they gave me plus 150. So I put 25 on that and won $62. So that's very happy for that, but that's how they reel you in. They keep you going with stuff like that. And then
I have been lucky is that I can do DraftKings, but we don't have any legalized online sports betting in Wisconsin.
They still haven't done it in Wisconsin at all?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay.
They haven't legalized weed. They haven't legalized sports gambling. I mean,
what the hell's going on up there?
It's Handmaid's Tale over here, I guess.
Oh, no. God, gotta break out over there. You're living in Russia.
And the funny part is, like, for like you go to like marijuana. We're surrounded by states. All the states around us, you can get it. Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota.
Minnesota,
no problem.
Yep. Just not Wisconsin.
Just not Wisconsin.
I think that's
got a lot to do with the Indian gaming. With the casinos are so big. They're all over this state.
Do they have that much pull?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I remember. I know they're everywhere. But
we're not lacking casinos here. And a couple of them, I think one of them might actually have a sports book.
I remember Potawatomi. But, I mean, that's just, okay, fine. There's a whole bunch of Indian reservations up there. But just based on legalizing marijuana, just based on University of Wisconsin, Madison would be that would take care of your state budget for the next 10 years.
You wouldn't see Madison anymore because it would be in fog.
It would be in smoke.
Yeah.
It would be completely smoked
like
out.
There'd just be this
over permanent
haze around Madison. Which
that would clear
that,
all your budget.
That's not like that's not like there isn't already.
Sure.
Right.
But that's how it is everywhere.
Yeah, you look at like what it did for the tax, like in Colorado and all these states where they legalized, how much money they're bringing in for this legalized weed.
The gambling, same thing. All the money that's going to bring in from all the degenerates like me. It's just a no-brainer.
There have been plenty of times I've been like, man, I wish I could put $10 on this or $20 on something, you know?
Yeah, it has to happen. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah, I know that.
They're going to put a casino at that big vacant lot in Chicago downtown one day. That's going to happen. They've been talking about that for years.
Well, look how long it took them to put that one out in Rosemont.
Right. Forever. They were doing the boats before that, which is just stupid. Oh, it's on a boat. It's legal now.
Well, no. What they'll do is they'll move the Bears out to the racetrack, and then they'll just put the big casino there.
Okay. Yeah, it's all going to work out somehow. They'll figure it out. They're going to put a casino there. They're going to put it downtown Chicago. They're going to put a casino in Times Square. All of this is coming eventually before we die because it's just too much money to be made by doing it. It's just common sense. And they'll all be smoked out.
What do you think what do you think the live line would have been to take the Vikings on the money line at halftime?
Oh, I was seeing that on Twitter. I think Darren Revelle was tweeting plus 3,300, if I recall correctly.
So 100 to win 3,300?
Correct.
Eh. It still seems like – it doesn't seem like enough to make me want to bet.
It's probably not fair. It probably, for the odds of it happening, should have been plus 33,000 or something.
That's what I
like
mean.
Like that. No, I understand. For the actual fairness of the actual gaming odds, no, that's not enough. It shouldn't be enough.
I believe the stat that I saw at some point towards the end of that game said that teams with a 30-point lead in NFL history were like 1,500 1-1.
And the one, is that counting postseason? Because that one was Frank Reich?
I don't know if that was counting that one, because that would have been, that was a 32-point game. That was a 35-3, right?
Yeah, that's all I was hearing today on the radio was this broke the record for biggest comeback ever, and the Frank Reich game was the record, but that was a postseason
I am still going to say, I don't care what happened today, that comeback for the Bills was still the greatest comeback of all time. It was in the playoffs for one.
Right.
And no 2-point conversions.
That's right.
You could take your 28-3, you could take this 33-0. You can take all of those. I'm still going Frank Reich, that 35-3 comeback, because they came back all the way and they did it without a single two, because there were no 2-point conversions back then. It
did not exist.
So I'm still calling that the greatest comeback of all time.
I try not to engage in, when it happened in my childhood, in my day, that was the greatest. Yep. But yeah, I'll concur that that's probably still greater just because of the playoff circumstances.
Right, it was the stage and and all that. I get the Super Bowl one; that's fine too.
Argue that Buffalo did it against a team that was in the playoffs. So clearly, Buffalo did it against a much better team than what Minnesota did it against.
Yeah,
Minnesota,
this Colts team that collapsed. Collapsed today is a joke squad with a joke coach.
Yeah.
I liked when I sent you when I sent you Jeff Saturday's musings today.
Yeah, that was a great comment. Oh,
wow,
this is
awesome. I'm so glad I got to witness that. Can you guys believe that? Just wow, man.
I did laugh out loud at the line of "I'm happy for those guys." Like, that's the other team. It's not your team. That was a good one. You did call me on that one.
Yeah, I'm just Jeff Saturday's in a monologue. How great for those guys, man! I'm so glad I got to see the biggest comeback ever and live in person. Wow, man!
Oh, Jeff, he's probably still standing on the sideline right now.
He's
just
like,
sweeping up around
there
him
with his arms folded, smiling and shaking his head, just nodding his head like, man, this is great.
Wow, I'm an NFL head coach.
I'm getting paid for this.
This is awesome.
Somebody pinch me.
Jeff. Game's over, Jeff. Come back to the hotel.
I mean, I'm playing him off as just kind of being this, like, free spirit, mindless dude, but probably.
Appears to be a religious freak, too, so he's probably just, thank God. I'm so blessed.
I'm so blessed to be here.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah. All right. Well, have you had enough?
Oh, my God. It has been such a long 2 days. I'm not even going to get into all the details.
My week has been long. I gave you I gave you the gory details.
It's
been a long, I have to say, this has been a very long week. I spent most of the week just beat to death, and then snow and shoveling and ice and then back to work. And it's just, yeah, it's just been this whirlwind week. And then you got the holidays coming, so you're trying to like go buy presents and do all this. Yeah, so it's been a challenge. I'm anticipating that we'll be doing this again Friday, next Friday night, because that's really our only chance.
You'll be
older the next time we do this show.
And respect your elders.
You get to appreciate those 2 weeks of being 47 before I do, where
right.
I am. So
tell you
tell
how much
me all
hurts.
About what it's like on the other side.
That's right. So yeah, you've been sick. I've had craziness over here trying to deal with my job and then get over here to my wife's uncle's house and then get the setup and everything going. And
are you back there again on Friday?
We don't know about next weekend yet.
Okay, so you'll
you'll
just let me know if I'm hosting or.
Yep. I'll have you clued in.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I'm doing yesterday I'm at work and I'm doing the crash course. So I'm watching, because I didn't watch any football last week because I was on vacation.
Right.
And so I was paying attention on my phone, but I'm watching all of the like 15-minute highlight packages, you know.
Yep.
So I'm watching the long highlight packages, but I'm watching them all on YouTube at 1.5 speed.
Okay.
So I can just like blaze through them all, but I'm still picking up enough, you know, and I've actually got a little cheat sheet worth of notes here that I was writing. So I was doing homework. This has been the season. I will tell you, I've put in the most work this season as I have in a long time. Cause I actually have a little list of notes here with all the stuff that I could transcribe into the computer. And then, made my picks this morning for the games today before you even got me the lines. I was just looking at the lines like there's nothing that can dramatically change here because I knew I was going to go – I was actually going Colts to win, which was my pick, but thankfully they still got it on the hook, which was so crazy, and then lost my other
Wait,
picks today.
They were leading by 33. You mean they didn't win? Wait, what?
They didn't win. But they got the hook. They covered.
Oh.
It's a win in our books.
they still covered, though.
That's right. Anybody who had Colts and 3.5 still was a winner. And you can never take it away.
And ironically, that Buffalo collapsing and not being able to cover tonight, I was going to still win my parlay because I had the Vikings straight. With all that,
oh, you had the Vikings on the money line.
On the money line, as part of my parlay, I was so mad listening to that shit this morning. By the time it got to halftime, I had already ripped off my headphones.
Oh, that's why you were so agitated. I thought you were just agitated because you're losing the pick to me.
I was agitated because of that too, but I was agitated because I'm like, man, I got this long form parlay in football, and it's going to be dead already. Before we even get to
the Bills destroy your whole parlay?
Yes.
What would that have paid you?
I didn't have that much on it, but it was the only thing I was stretching out today in football outside of that Josh Allen prop bet. That was the only other thing I was playing in football today was that one parlay. I had NBA going. I had college basketball going. Those all fucked up too because I'm not good at gambling, which is part of the problem. But anyway, that was what really was frustrating about this Buffalo score was that I was still with that comeback gonna be in play to make money because when it's a spread that low, and I do that in basketball and college basketball and NBA too, when it's like a spread of 3 or 4 or 5. I don't fuck with that. I just take the money line because I'm not taking a team -3 and watching them win by 2. That's not going to happen because I've done that too many times in the past before. There's no reason to take a team -3 because you're going to get the -110. We could just take the money line and have a -170, -180. That's not worth the risk to give up that money. That's not worth it. Just take the money line. I'm bad at gambling, but I'm giving you gambling advice. Just take the money line. I'm telling you. Much less stressful.
No, I hear you there.
Yeah.
Man.
And it was going to work out, except the Bills couldn't hold off the Dolphins. So I'll go home and see that one too. I'm very curious to see how that played out.
Yeah, 32-29. That's your final there.
32 is great. The 29, come on. What are you doing, man? What's going on? All right. Unless you had anything else, I think I'm done here.
Yeah, I'm on my way to bed.
Yep.
Oh wait, I got to close up the show, don't I?
No, I can. I got the studio up. I got the in-depth
got
button. I can actually do all of it myself. So you don't have to do that. But thank you very much for hosting. I still don't trust this Wi-Fi setting. I was breaking up last week a little bit.
Yeah, I listened to last week's show because I heard it live, and sometimes that doesn't always translate into the show on the podcast. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, definitely.
Tonight was crystal clear. No issues
really?
Tonight. So whatever. Yeah, no. So whatever you did tonight, do it again.
I moved to a different room, but it's still on the second floor. The router is still down there on the first floor in the laundry room, so I can't post in there because it's too small. I guess I have to stay in this other room then. So it is a little closer to the router, so maybe that's the difference. I don't know. So I'm very glad to hear that that I wasn't breaking up. So that's good. So against all odds, we got everything together. We got the show in, even though it was a day late, and then it all worked out. So I'm very happy about that, even though I didn't win my lock and missed my parlay. But tomorrow's another day. All right. So we are aiming for next Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. We got more Saturday games on the docket. Of course, the whole Christmas Eve docket is Saturday, if you're not aware of that, except for like three games on Sunday. So they're doing basically it's the inverse of this week because this three-game triple header that we had today, they're doing it on Sunday next week on Christmas Day. And then the full slate, the other 10 games, whatever, they're doing it next Saturday. So a little flip-flop action. So yeah, that's not a surprise because they – usually don't play games on Christmas Day when it's on a Sunday. Usually they have like one game, and this year they're going to three. So that's what the schedule looks like next week. So, yeah, we definitely have to do the show Friday because we can't put the picks on Twitter Saturday morning because it's all the games except for three. So we definitely have to do it Friday night. So hopefully we won't have any issues, but I already warned you before we came on the air. We got some terrible weather coming down to Memphis, or maybe that was on the air. I don't remember. But it's not looking good next weekend. So if things do break down and I don't have the ability to do the show Friday night, then we'll just have to email each other the picks and do it old school and put it up on the blog. So we'll make it work. For those of you who don't remember the blog website, even though I put it on the plugs, blogtalkradio.com. Wait, no, that's the podcast.
No, in much less detail.
blogspot.com. Thank you. It's late and I completely forgot about our blog name. So there you go. That's where you can find our picks, and I'll put the picks for tomorrow up on the blog after I get off the air right now, and that's what I'm going to do. So. All right, next Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, breaking down week 15, including this historic game that happened this morning, and picking week 16 in the NFL as the season rolls on as we get ready for Christmas next weekend. All right, he is Jay, I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank all of you for listening, especially Jason's mom, who's been sending me love and messages through the entire show. Apparently our biggest listener, our biggest fan of all time, and that's fine with us. And we will talk to all of you